Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein here in the Yeshiva Shalmaila with an hour or sometimes an hour and a half of Torah, Halacha, Hashkafa. So this week, you know, sometimes something happens, it makes you weak. Last week we asked the Halachic Shaila about Esther. I'm not going to say the Shaila over again. Anybody wants to listen, they could listen to last week's. And I got a Haskama on the question from the Rav Shiva,
Rabbi Avram Gurwitz,
the big guy, and listen to this caller.
Hello, Shalom Avrocha, David. It's speaking here, Yingerman from Gateshead in England. I spoke already in the past. You, thank you very much again for your wonderful shiurim. It's amazing. Every week it's full of chidushim. Koy lechi, gevaldig bedach. Regarding to your kasha last week about Achashverosh, and Esther, that she wasn't anymore an Anusa, since they had the opportunity that he should be killed through Big Son of the Seres. I discussed this question with the famous Rosh Hashiva of Gateshead, Hagon Rabbi Avram Gurwitz Shliter, just a few minutes ago. And finally, that it's a very good cast. She doesn't really have an answer. We did discuss all the different stodim that, first of all, we need to have a raya that some, if they had the opportunity to get rid of him, if that makes her called from now not an anusa, who says? Maybe will be a good thing to do it, but it's not mochach that she's not called an anusa. Maybe she still could an anusa, because at the end of the day, she's an anusa. Only by kasha avadati avadati, that was a real chotzen. Also, we said it's told them that maybe it would be a sakona lamaisa for them not to say, because in case, you know, they'll find out that Motza did know about it, and he didn't say anything, you know, that all these sakonas, it could be Achashverosh felt he has to, could be Mordechai felt that he has to say. So there's all different stodim, lekan, lekan, but finally it seems in the end that the kash was better than the teretz. And he said, the great Rosh Hashiva of Gates and Hagon Rabbi Avram Gurwitz Shliter, that he doesn't really know how to answer. So I really hope to hear from you what other listeners have to answer. So I hope in the next show you'll have what more to say about it, since it's a very interesting question. Thank you very much, Rav David.
Now for Yeshiva Bacha to get a Haskama from
Avram Gurwitz,
it made my whole week. I was floating. So we got a lot of answers. If you go to the website, we put them almost all up. We probably got 100 calls on it. And the most popular answer is that Esther herself would have been killed, so she still had a din of an anusa. And I guess it works, the teretz, that if it's pikuach nefesh, there's a din of karkoilim again, she's allowed to do it. But here's the issue that I have with that teretz, just as a yeshiva bacha. You know, in the litta, the lamdim of the world, they didn't believe in making ukimtis to answer a question, in changing, adding and bringing a new fact into the equation. In other parts of the world, they would have a question, they would say, hachabamayaskin, and they would give an ukimta. In the litta, they tried to do it with lumdis. And here we're changing, we're saying, well, she would have also died. But I think the teretz definitely works. But we had so much interest in answering your questions, so I figured, let me ask you, I have so many brilliant listeners here. Let me ask another question. You know, there's a famous yesod from Reb Chaim, and the Brisker Rav in the Sefer in Hilchos Chanukah talks about it, Bariches, similar topic. Reb Chaim said, he asked a question. He would ask in the yeshiva, if you had two esrogim, you had an esrog that it was gorgeous, it was a hadar, it was stunning, it was a problem. Maybe it was a murkiv, you didn't know. Then you had a real humble, simple $10 esrog, not at all nice, but it was kasha, but the yevid kasha. What do you make the bracha on? The beautiful esrig or the kasha? Now, it's a little bit of a trick question because most people would say, well, you can't take the risk of not being yaitzev. Of course, you make on the kasha. And Reb Chaim said, no, that's wrong. He said, you make on the hadar, and then you put it down, and then you pick up the kasha. So, mamanushach, if the hadar is kasha, so you did the mitzvah, behidurei. If it's not, then you had the kasha. So somebody asked Reb Chaim, said, and why don't you do it the other way? First do the kasher, and then do the hadar. So Reb Chaim said, no. Once you pick up the b'dievetik estrig and you yaitza, you were yaitza. And then if you pick up the hadar, you can't have hidur mitzvah after the mitzvah, what you were yaitza the mitzvah. That's the aside that Reb Chaim Briskerov talks similar, makes a machlokes, Rambam, Tur, etc. in Chanukah. So here's the question. From Purim, you have a raya not like Reb Chaim. Why? What's the halacha? If you heard more than 51% of the Megillah, or certainly if, according to some sheet, it's a big more than that, let's say it would be 80%, and then you missed 10 or 20 psukim and you said them from a chumash, yaitza, the whole Megillah does not be have to be menaksav, like, let's say, like Kriyas HaTorah. So let me ask you a question. Let's say the last pasuk of the Megillah, Umar Chayatza, let's say the Baal Kaira would run out of shul, he got a hatzalah call, and he doesn't read. So the whole oilam says the last pasuk. They're about to finish the Megillah, and everybody says again, Umar Chayatza, Bovosh Malchus, and then the Baal Kaira runs out on hatzalah call. He never finishes. Would you be Yaitza Megillah? The answer is yes, because you said it from a chumash. It's just one pasuk out of the hundreds of psukim, so Yaitza. So it comes out, what happens? First, everybody says it, and Yaitza b'dieved. Then afterwards, the Baal Kaira reads it outside, from the Megillah, and then you yaitza l'chatchila. So, according to Reb Chaim, once you said it from the Chumash, the last pasuk, and you yaitza b'dieved, so then the Baal Kaira reading it afterwards doesn't help. So they should have been misakin the other way. First the Baal Kaira reads it, everybody's yaitza, and then you should read it. The fact that this minig, which goes back 1,000 years, which is that everybody reads it, and Yaitza b'dieved, and then the Baal Kaira reads it, you have a shkasha, a beferish haraya from a minig Yisrael, neged the yisoid of Reb Chaim Briska. And Reb Chaim also did this in Brisk, this minig. So you got to believe that he had an explanation for this. So I put it out there to my many brilliant listeners, co-lumdim, talmidei hachamim, or whoever you are, bright people. How do you answer the kasha? Reb Chaim says, by Esrig, once you yaitza, you can't have hiddur. By Megillah, we see the exact opposite from our minig. First, we yaitza b'dieved, and then afterwards, the Baal Kaira says it. So, according to Reb Chaim, according to that, first pick up the kasha, and then do the hadar. I await responses. Before we start, I would like to this week we're going to be talking about beards. And we're going to be speaking with Rabbi Litvak, Rabbi Hill Litvak. He is one of the great writers. He's, you know, he was very involved with Rabbi Wiener, who wrote Hadras Panim Zaken, who we tried to get on the show, but we got Rabbi Litvak. He was also very involved for 30 or 40 years. He's been writing and darshaning about the importance of beards. And it's, I apologize in advance. I have the biggest cover that's higher of him. This is an interview that I heard got a little bit lebedik. So all of you who think I didn't treat it Talmud Chachamim enough, there are cherets, I'm sorry, it was Rizka, Dairaisa. But it's a very lively debate we're going to have about beards. Now, I personally, halachically, I think I have a beard. At least halachically, I don't shave. You know, if I use the number 3 or number 4, it's not called shaving, you could bend it over. So I'm taking this pashut else. It's a debate, la halacha. And afterwards we will have a discussion with Rabbi Applebaum. What in the Torah can you teach to children? What couldn't you? Are there topics that are off limits? We've spoken about this in the past. He's a very popular and respected Mechanech from Eretz Yisrael. That will be the second topic today. I would like to say a vart before we go to our main thing about this week's Parsha. You know, this week's Parsha talks about the Marais Hatzavais, the holy makeup mirrors. What does the pasuk say in Vayakil? It says that they brought the makeup mirrors. Vayas es hakir nechoshes. The Marais Hatzaivais, the women brought their makeup mirrors that were made out of copper. They didn't have glass mirrors in those days, I guess. And they brought them, and Moshe made the kiyar, which stands at the entrance. You couldn't go in without being the Scottish. You couldn't go to the Mishkan without being the Scottish near. And he made it out of makeup mirrors. So it's interesting. You have here a very big machloikis, the Ebn Ezra and Ramban, and it's a machloikis that resonates 2,000 years later, maybe 2,000 years later. What does Ebn Ezra say here? He says it's most women like to beautify themselves in the morning. Derech hanashim l'siapos b'boiker b'maris d'chayches. And what is it talking about? There were holy women, oivdeis Hashem, that had no interest in Taivas Olam, and they gave away their makeup mirrors. They became babushkas. They became holy, I don't know, women. Ki ein lehem tzorech oid l'hisyapos. They had no interest anymore in beauty. Rak boy, they used to come yoim yoim pesach el moed l'sval. So what does the Maris Tovis mean according to Ebn Ezra? Women, throw away your mirrors. Become holy. That's how the Ebn Ezra learns. And Rashi HaKadosh, I say HaKadosh with a doggish under it, goes in an entirely different direction. He says, the Benois Yisrael, they had Maris that they used to look at when they were Miskashtes, when they got made up. And even those they brought to the Mishkan. And Moshe got mad at them. He said, but this was for the Yetz Hara. I don't want to use that for the Kier. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kabel, take them. Ki Elu Chavivin Alayim and Akel. These are the most precious. Why? Because it's because the women made themselves beautiful that we had to have a nation. It says, when the men were exhausted, Bavoidas Perach, they came home from a miserable day of work. What did they do? They would take the Maris, and they would show their husband how beautiful they made themselves. And they would try to talk their husbands into calming down, into getting out of the stress of the day. And they would say, Ani noam imcha, look how beautiful I am, more than you. And that way, the husbands, it created an intimacy in the house. And that's the pshat, Tachas ha-tapuach oirarticha, we say in Eilig Asher Hashirim, I aroused you under the tapuach, Rashi says, brings a chazal, this was with the Maris HaTzaveis, and Rabbi Shalom said, what is more holy than this intimacy that was created by the women who beautify themselves? Diametrically opposed. The holiest thing, Rashi, the Rabbi Shalom is telling Moshe, is what? The fact that the women beautify themselves. They were able to create intimacy. Ebn Ezra, throw away the makeup mirrors. That's not the way a holy, totally different direction. So let's go with Rashi. And I want to ask the following thing on Rashi. The entrance to the Mishkan? I mean, I understand it's important, but the entrance, the kier, was made out of makeup mirrors? And I want to suggest a pshat. I want to say that, you know, the Mishkan, I'll say a little bit drush, but it says, V'asuli migdash, Rashi says, L'shmi beis kedusha. And then V'chein Tasus, Rashi says, L'doiris, the Mishkan is forever. And Ramban says, forever, the Klei Mishkan, maybe some will like it in the base, but he asks, L'doiris? But we also know that the Jewish home is a Mishkan. And who's the first one to call the Jewish home a Mishkan? Bilam! What did Bilam say? Matoivu ayalecha Yaakov, Mishkan Eisecha. He saw the Jewish homes. It wasn't Pishchan Shelzeh. Can I get Pishchan Shelzeh? He called. He's the first one. Right? So Rashi says, we put it by the door of the Mishkan. So what does Rashi say? V'asuli migdash. Rashi says, L'doireis v'chein tasu. The Jewish home is a Mishkan forever. And you know what it says? And there are other proofs to this. It says when Hashem makes Adam, it says Vayichad Echad Mitzaloysav. So the Medrash says Kemoidik Sivul Etzala HaMishkan. Have many other rites. It says the Gimel Nisim that happened by Vayei Yehela by Rivka. We said the same Gimel Nisim the Rishonim say happened in the Beis Hamikdash near Daluk, near Maravi, etc. So the Jewish home is called the Mishkan. And by the entrance to the Mishkan, we put the kier. What does that mean? Rashi says of the Maris HaTzaveis, if you want to have a holy home, an established home, a solid, the foundation is intimacy, good relations with a husband and wife. You can't build a house. You cannot create a Mishkan with a husband and wife who do not have a solid, a rock-solid foundation of ahava and intimacy. To get into the Mishkan, to go into the Pesach Mishkan, you had to be you had to take the water that was discarded with the Maris Hatzoves. And I think it's a very powerful current lesson, because we live in a world where intimacy has become a thing of the past. We have a president who every hour is being served with another lawsuit from some other, whatever. We can't even say the words of what type of fears, et cetera, et cetera. So intimacy is derided. The marriage rate in the United States is the lowest it's ever been. There are more children born out of wedlock than in the history of this country. Intimacy has become a thing of the past. What does the Torah say? It's the holiest thing. You want to create a Mishkan, there has to be intimacy. And when we're Makadosh a wife, what do we say? We don't say Hareat Knuyali, Nachlasi, one of the 50 Lashonis. We say Hareat Mekudeshesli. And that is with intimacy, with a wife who uses the Maris Hatzoves to beautify, and a husband who appreciates it. You know, it's interesting. We say Kol Hashirim. I'm going to get into trouble for this. I want to say Hagdama. I use Art Scroll every day. I use this Sfarim, the Chumashim, the Gemaras. I think they're fantastic. It says Kol, right? Hashirim Kodesh. Shir Hashirim is Kodesh Kadashim, right? Kol Hashirim Kodesh. Shir Hashirim is Kodesh Hashim. Why is it that the Rabbeinu Shalom uses the mashal of an ish v'isha as a mashal to the intimacy of Klal Yisrael and Kav Yachal, right? So Shir Hashirim is supposed to be a mashal. And what did Art Scroll do? They took Shir Hashirim and they said, what? I mean, and again, I love Art Scroll. To imagine that a relationship between a husband and wife on a physical level could be so amazing? It can't be. So what do they say? Tachas HaTapuach Eretichah and Har Sinai, we saw Malachim. They take the whole Shir Hashirim and they change it. You know, I heard years ago when there was a lot of Yiddish, you know, writings, Yiddish theater, so somebody took the Shakespeare and they translated it. So he said, you know, the writings of William Shakespeare, right? Ibegeteicht und verbessert, translated and made better by Zalman Plotnikovich. Right, Shakespeare, Ibegeteicht, vergresset und verbessert by Zalman Plotnikovich, which is very humorous. And I think that to take Shir Hashirim and to say, the way the Rabbeinu Shalom made it, we don't like it. We want to make it holier. We want to make it Ibegeteicht, vergresset und verbessert. I don't know. I think Art Scroll is fantastic. But we could disagree with something they do. It's not, you know, we have a right to. We're Jewish. We have a right to disagree. So what is it? Some people today are knowing like Devin Ezra. And what do they say? You know, throw away the mirrors, throw away the clothing. And otherwise say, others hold like Rashi. And what do they say? The holiest thing in the world, the foundation of a home, right? What does it say? What does it say in Shemais? V'lo yitein ha-mashchis lovei el batechem lingayf. If you don't want the mashchis in, you better have a real good intimacy. The Maris Hatzoves, most holy thing to get into the house. Okay, before we start with beards, I just want to give a little bit of Hagdama before we go to our guests. And I want to say that there's really two Mahalchim that I come away with it. I'm going to give you my opinion for whatever it's worth. But, you know, we're going to speak with Rabbi Litvak a lot of Halacha. Last week we spoke with three other Rabbanim we had on from Chabad. He said, oh, from the Tzemach Tzedek, Alpi Kabbalah. And he said, Alpi Halacha Le'Sulbash. And then we had from Satma, they said it's a Geder. And I want to give you my takeaway. You know, halachically, we're going to bring 20 different Gedolei Olam, including the greatest, you know, the Mara, the Astra of America, until Mashiach comes, Ramesha, who said it's not a problem shaving. But, and we had last week, we had from the Holy Hasidim, they said, look at us. We didn't lose anybody. The places where they shaved their beards, a lot of people became fry. There's something to it as the Malbush. Here's a very interesting thing. I learned in the Mir, and I had the great honor of learning with two of Reb Nachum's, the great Mir Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Nachum Pritzavitz, his son-in-laws, or sons-in-law. And none of them had a beard while Reb Nachum was conscious, while he was like sort of around. And one of them explained it to me. They said in the Mir they held, in the Litta, by the way, and it wasn't just the Mir, in Volozhin you weren't allowed to grow a beard. Radin, almost nobody had a beard, even though the Chafetz Chaim had written about it. But and in the Mir was sort of, nobody had a beard in the Mir. And they used to say in the Litta that what? The beard was for a simin of a Hadras Panim Zakin, of a Talmud Chacham, of a Adam Chashev. So Nachum said, he said, you know, in the Mir, if you look in the mirror in the morning and you have a beautiful beard and beautiful, so you say, Vostafach Shemet Mer learning? Why do I have to learn today? I'm already an Adam Gadol. So he didn't let his sons-in-law grow beards. He himself had a short-term beard. You wake up in the mirror, you look at yourself in the morning and you say, you know what? Well, you wake, I better go learn. I have to do something. I don't want to rely on Chitzainius to prevent me. Adarab, it's a Machayev, go. Right? On the other hand, in the Chassidish world, they felt a beard is like, you know, places a batter. It's a mavdil bein us and the Umay Sa'ilam. So two totally different shitas. So I think the halachic debate is interesting, but it's certainly, you know, you can hear enough shitas one way, enough shitas the other way. To me, it's more of a shaila at this point of, you know, what your besair is, what your hashkafa was, what your halacha was. But now I'm not talking about all shavers. Rosh shavers, according to Rambam, that would be very problematic today if the shaver has a particularly sharp blade. But let me stop talking, giving you my opinion. Let's go to Rabbi Litwick. And again, I hold he's a tremendous Yerush Shemayim, Talmud Chacham, 100 times more than me. If it's arguing, it's just that I'm a yeshiva bacha. This is what we would talk, the Rizcha Dairaisa. Let's go to our guest. We have on the phone with us from New York City, Rabbi Hill Litvak. He's a grandson of the Baal Nezer HaKodesh, who was very close to the Chazon Ish, one of the first Rabbanim in America. And he is the sort of the editor, the Ma'arech of the famous Ezra's Torah Luach. He's been involved with the Pshail of Electric Shavers now for more than 40 years, has made it almost a lifetime work. Welcome, Reb Hillel.
Yes.
Rabbi Litvak, tell us, can we use shavers? Can we use an electric shaver? What is your what has your research told us?
Well, I'll tell you the history, my own experience. I never used an electric shaver. I always used powder because I heard the Chofetz Chaim Zainish held the Tzinnis and the Raisa. But I didn't know more till Rabbi Wiener confronted me, and he's writing a sefer on this. So I contacted Eretz Yisrael to see what the gedolim in Eretz Yisrael hold. Maskana was the top rov in Yerushalayim is Beis Pesach Frank, and the sefer said it's mutter, but when the machines got very close, this talmidim said he held that it's tar. And also there's a letter from Rav Hirsch Pesach Frank to Rav Reich saying that now that it's very close, takes off everything, it's a tar. Rav Yashiv, also deraisa.
So wait. Okay, can I interrupt you? The letter to Rav Reich, Rav Reich, I believe, in his answer himself says that he remarks on the stira of the prior opinion of Tzvi Pesach, and he says Rav Tzvi Pesach must be talking about, since he's afraid you're going to press down very hard, so the skin will go beneath the shield, and since the skin will be beneath the shield, the blade will be cutting directly against the skin, and that is an isetar.
Yeah, and I also but I have a letter from a Chena Rav Frank, the Talmidim, that he asked it. They don't say, it seems that Frank held that if you don't press, you could use it, which a lot told is very dangerous. In case you forget and press, you have a 5-11.
Right.
Important to mention 5-11 is because it is worse than an issa skila.
in Shin Chav Ches Er Chaim, talking about an Aveira. So a lot don't hold. It's a very dangerous Eitzah. Frank probably meant that because a lot of people were not going to listen. Anyways, he said, don't press. Yankim Kamenetsky also used to say, don't press. But the Eitzah of not pressing is not an Eitzah for everybody because, number one, a lot of people want a close shave. So that's why they use these, they got used to this style of life. It's a convenience. It's like telling someone, don't use electricity, use candles. Don't use a car, use a horse. It became a style of life to everyone. And if you tell them the electricity is also, they think, what's going on here? You're telling me so many people in Klal Yisrael are over 5'11", can't be. They got so used to the style of life that they can't understand that it's awesome. And why are you
But when you say it's us, sir, Rabbi, let's talk, there were many Gedolim who were matirit.
Oh, this is the major point. The only, the famous matir is Ramosh. Now, from the Gedolim, Rav Henkin or Vadi Yosef mentioned, it's not true. Rav Henkin used to open up the machine, and he had certain tests he made. Not tests, he was looking for something. We don't know what it is. He was nifted 30, 40 years ago, and we don't know his test. Rav Moshe seemed to hold. Vadi Yosef held this.
Let's go way before that, okay? Let me give you a list of like 20 Rabbanim who are matir, okay?
Yeah.
The Reb Chaim Oizer was matir.
Wait, that have to stop immediately because Reb Moshe Zimmerman, told me he was the shliach of Tervadas when the Shikshava came out. When the Shikshava came out, he was on the way to Europe. So the Rashivs of Tervadas gave him the Shikshava. And to show it to Reb Chaim Oizer. And this is what Reb Moshe Zimmer wrote. I said I'd like to have it in writing. This is his handwriting. Ani reitze bezel idea ki b'yesi b'vilna. Be'er shnas tuf reish tzadakei oitef reish tzagvov. Heresi shik sheva l'rashke b'hag Reb Chaim Oizer tzal. B'shlichas mesifta tervedas. B'shamayti b'brirus shulay hita b'shuvosei lohem. When he gave me the letter, he said to me, you could show it to anyone you want, but don't make a whole piercing out of it. But when he was Nifta, I asked his son, now that he was Nifta, can I be Mefarsimit now? So he said he doesn't know what to answer. He doesn't know why he said not to be Mefarsim. So I sent a copy to Reb Chaim Kanevsky. And I said, I brought him this shaila, should we be in Farsim? The answer of Chaim Kanevsky was, yesh, the Farsim.
Okay, so let me...
The letter of Chaim Eizer, not Matir, the... Yeah.
Okay, the Tshuvas van Haggis, in two different places, says that Reb Chaim Eizer was Matir, the machine, a shaver, and he says, and it's like the shaver we have today, and he says he heard this directly from his father, who heard it from Reb Chaim Eizer. He brings it in Chelik Aleph Simin Taf Nun Tes, right? And he also brings it
in. I'm not aware of that because.
I'm getting
hello. I hear. But I hear what you're saying.
We'll put it on our site, the copy of both Tshuvas.
We have a problem today because. Rav Shua, Yitzchak Meir Shua's father spoke to Chaim Eizer, and the maskana was that he shouldn't use it.
Okay.
But we have a letter here from. Ksav Yad from Moshe Zimmerman, and he.
Well, you have a Ksav Yad from the Tshuvas van Haggis in two places, and I don't know where Moshe Zimmerman was, but I know that
he was the Rav. He was the Rav. Oh yeah, but the point is not that. I'll tell you the whole story.
Is the Av Bezdin of Yerushalayim, Hamed, and the Baal. He says it in two places. I'm telling you, Chelik Aleph Simin Tafnun Tes. We'll bring it both on out. Put it both on our website. He says it twice, that Reb Chaim was matir, and he says Reb Chatzkel Abramsky was matir too. So let me go through
Matters
those.
Which machines?
Okay, so let me go through those who were matter. Chaim Moshe, according to the Tshuva Sanhagis, was matter. According
yeah.
to Rav Chatzka Labramsky, was matter. The Oirach
yeah.
Mishpat from Rav Cook, we'll put the letter on the site, was matter. The Baal, the Rav Tzvi Michelson in Varsha, the Rav of Varsha, the Baal Tirish V'Yitzer was matter. Rav David Hoffman, the Melamed Lahayel, was matter. These I'm going through sort of from the beginning, and all, you know, sort of the older ones and the new ones. Rav Israel Hildesheimer was matter. The Magen Shaul was matter. The Rav Henkin was matter, right? The
Rav Henkin
was
only matter with. All right.
Two Svarim is brought, the Yagel Yaakov and the Eidus Yisrael. Rabbi Yonis and Steif was matter, right?
Deretzina, they have to start. Deretzina says Rabbi Yonis and Steif acid. So we have questionable Rabbi Yonis and Steif.
Okay.
He brings
okay.
in a safe Rabbi Yonis and Steif acid.
Okay, I'll quote the letters from Rabbi Yonis and Steif. I'll put them online. The Divra Yatziv, the Kleisenberger Rebbe, was matter. On the Sfardim side, Rabbi Tzion Abishol was matter, Rabbi Bazuz was matter, Rabbi Vadya Yosef in his Chuvis was matter, and most famously is Ramosha was matter, and so you have here 20 Rabbanim.
All right.
The biggest
right,
of all, obviously, being Ramosha, who was, you know, the giant, he, you know.
Yeah,
the
so now let's go to Ramosha.
The of America, you know what I mean? So
yeah, let's go to Ramosha. Let's go to Ramosha.
Yeah.
Ramosha was Mata, and one of his Talmidim told me that he called up a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, Radin, goes back, has to be a long time ago, and asked him, is it true that the Chofetz Chaim has it? That Rav said that, no, it's not true, it's only a Chumrah. So I called him up, that Rav, and I said, the Lashon of the Chofetz Chaim in the Kutei Lachos Makis is the same Lashon he uses by Lashon Hara. So he started telling me Chalukim, but then, so I said, I didn't understand the chiddush, but I couldn't argue. But then I took out a Chofetz Chaim of Lashon Hara, turned the page, and I said, isn't this Omer? He says the same exact Lashon that he says over there. So he didn't have an answer. But then I said, the stipler, or somebody Gdolim say that the Chofetz Chaim asked it. So he said that he didn't have an answer, but the point is, that when I told him about the other Gdolim, he said, it can't be also. He was very mad at the one who wrote that Sefer. I don't want to mention his name, but I know the reason why, and this everyone has the problem. When he was Nifta, I went to Menachem Ovalim. I saw his son. A lot of these Rosh Hashivas or Rabbonim have sons that are very mad. And they can't, you're telling me that my son is Eva Five. What happened? What's wrong with them? He's Eva, he's worse than Baal Eishasiv, so they get to Kocht. And they're ready to mavazig the Israel. Someone made a tape that Rish Pesa Frank, one of my sons, told me. He read a tape from a Choshe Yid, very, very Choshe Yid. And he says says on the tape that Rish Pesa Frank was mad. So I sent him the letter from a Chayin Rav Frank Talmidim say that he took back because it now it's very close. I have a letter from Chaim Rav Frank because Rav Frank was a mechutin to my grandfather, so he answered me right away. And he's, the lashon there is that it's tar, brown, a mesheva called brown. And so I sent him the list of gedolim that asur it. The list of gedolim that asur it that I sent him was Chaim Zaynish. I probably sent him also Rav Chaim Oiza. And all other gedolim. So then I call him up, and he says to me, with a kas, I received your stuff, but now yeshiva use it. Now, how does he call gedolim stuff? What I see is that Rosh Yeshiva, no Rav has the door open to say that it's awesome. A Rosh Yeshiva has a whole yeshiva using it. A Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael said, if I'll say it's also, all the bochum gonna run away. The sud is no Rosh Yeshiva and Rav, Well, even Meir the Shaila. Why don't you say you can't say
you
can't say there's no Shaila?
Rabbi Litvak,
what I'm trying to say is I'm not ready to listen that Ramosha is Mata because he got the wrong information.
So Rabbi Litvak, are you saying that Ramosha was Mata because he was afraid he wouldn't have Bachram in his yeshiva?
No, Chassashon. He was Mata because he held his Mutta. He held that Mizraim came tar, that the Shulchan Aruch says, means even if it takes off everything. Right?
Right.
But you look at the Chos Chaim in when he speaks to the army men, he says, there's a problem with the army men. They wanted them to take off the beard. How are you going to take it off? So he says to them, in Machne Yisrael, if the government is the freedom with Ms. Mariam Kain Tar, then if Ms. Brian came to it's a fridden, then you have no problem. But if they're not a fridden, either use powder or you have to do it all your day a guy. You could tell from the Lashon if Ms. Brian came to meant a clean shave, he wouldn't speak to an army man like that. It was ungenommen by Klal Yisrael that Ms. Brian came to meant, by Chos Chaim Zicha, Ms. Brian came to meant a unclean shave. There's no doubt about it. It's over Poshet. And in Malkut Elochas Makas, what he says is also furish. That Mizraim came tar, he can't say he's chaylik on the Shulchan Aruch. It should mean the Chofetz Chaim, who's the Pesach Achron. It's a sakona for Klal Yisrael. I'm talking to Bnei Tera now. I'm not talking
hello.
Rabbi Litvak, let me say.
So, in the opinion of the Chofetz Chaim, the Stiris. Because in the Sefer Chesed Lavram, right, to his son-in-law Rabbi Aaron HaKohen, which was printed in the life of the Chafetz Chaim, right, in the Hashmatas to the Kuntres Dvarim Ne'imim, he says his father-in-law said you can use a machine.
No, that was right? A machine. Then he didn't have today's machines.
I'm sorry.
I'll read
what he writes. So they had some type of a machine then. It was called a Zwicker. I don't know. Maybe it was a manual machine. I don't know. A wind-up machine. And his son-in-law writes that he did allow it. And it caused a lot of... Wait, so there's a steer in what the Chafetz Chaim meant.
Good you brought it up because he's talking about he said the Yetzirah was Mechadish, a new machine that's very close. That means in the time they wrote that, there was no such machine. I'll tell you the story with what Reb Gershon Zak, the Einikol Chofetz Chaim, heard from his father. Reb Mendel Zak told him that the machine that he acid. And this, the Reb Chaim Meiser was mad that machine because it left over something. He called it nothing because he held his mashkis. Everyone held a misprime that takes off, makes the face clean, is also. Chas Hashon to say the Chofetz Chaim was matarit. This is the Lashon of Gershon Zak speaking to me.
I understand that, but the
Wait. Then it got closer. You're talking about a different Shaila. That Shik Sheva was brought to Reb Chaim Meiser. So you're saying that the truth is not, I'd never heard of that, but Reb Osher Zimmern, but if it makes the face clean, then if a machine makes the face clean, then how could you say that the Chofetz Chaim, when the Chofetz Chaim was speaking in Tveris Odom, he was giving Musa to Klal Yisrael that you shouldn't use a razor, he says, the Nesoyin is Yefi. Person wants to look clean. Why didn't the Heilig Chofetz Chaim say, get a machine, a clipper, it makes your face clean? What is the problem? What is the Nesoyin here?
That's called the kasha.
It's a very evident kasha.
But if there was
a machine that was mutter, then in his time, he would have been mepharsim. Why don't you take this clipper and you have a clean shave?
Rabbi Litvak, let me read the Lashon of the Chassam Sefer. Okay, this isn't the Chassam Sofer and the Chayos Chuvis, it's in Kufnun Tess, when he was asked about cutting the beard. And his shoyl said that it's a terrible thing to cut the beard. So some sofer says, Lo yadati maha rosh hagadol hazeh. I don't know what's the big rash about cutting the beard. L'chuna v'nivachacha. Let's go see. If it's because of chukas hagayim, he says, Avadet ez no shayla of chukas hagayim. He says a whole arichas. And he says, and he brings a raya. He says, look at all the hamoinim of Italy. Megulche zakan. He says, v'nitlin, and who are they saymichon? Be'ilan gadol, Reb Menachem Azariah, Bali Asara Mamonis. He calls him Avia Mekubalim. Shehu haya megulach. He was shaven. Mibli hishir sara echad, without a single hair. V'chein heyadalav. The Rikanti, so he says, even then, you're going back now 500 years ago.
Right,
says,
but who says talking about a Mispraim? Not a shaver. Like
what did
shaver.
They have? What did, not an, a Mispraim means a scissor. That's what they used in those days, like the Shulchan.
Right, but it didn't take off everything.
He says, Mibli, Hishir, Sara Echa. There was nothing left.
Well, let me ask you. In the truest Sefer Nerechaim, he says that the Mispraim that takes off everything is tar. Retar lexi bikra elulei sashchis. Chazal omru en giluach sheyesh beshchos el betavle Mispraim.
Right.
In the monoshech. He named the desires hanishorim. Acha giluach hazug. Having command the essay, arei hishchis. He says mafurish that Mispraim that takes off everything is tar.
Where are you? You're in Kufnun Tess?
No. What he meant probably is if you use powder.
Where is this?
Does he say Mispraim that takes off everything?
He doesn't say Mispraim.
He's talking about powder. They used to use powder in this time. I don't know what to bring here. He's talking about in those days the Elohim didn't use powder. They didn't use Mispraim that takes off everything. If Mispraim takes off everything as much, they would have been Mepharsim.
You're telling me there was a powder in the year 1500 or the
1400? Yeah.
No.
It says that the time of Neid Behuda brings that powder is Mutta because it's, even though it's Hashchosa, but it's not Giluach. One thing you see right away from the Neid Behuda that you don't need tar. Because why does he have to say...
What did the Neid Behuda write? Say that again. I apologize. The
Neid Behuda says that powder to take off the hair is mutta because it's not giluach, even though it's hashchasa. So you see from the Neid Behuda this yisod that you don't need tar.
They
don't need tar because why do you have to say it's not giluach? He would say, listen, Sam is not tar.
So he would say Sam is not tar.
Is there one thing you see for sure from him?
Hello.
Anything that takes off everything is
awesome. The Sam Seif is talking about Mispraim in Tar. He says it beferish.
I'm talking about Mispraim.
And he says, Lahishir Sara Echa. That's the Lashon of Sam Seif.
Powder.
Mispraim Kain Tar does not mean powder. It means a scissor that's like a razor.
Mispraim Kain Tar cannot mean taking off everything. I'll tell you, it's impossible in Svara also. You know why? Because if you say Mispraim Kain Tar, which is a shave, is muta by Zokin, so like one day in Shulchan Aruch by Pesach Rosh it's muta, right? It means like one day you could take an electric shave and cut off the Pesach Rosh, Ayat HaKofa. The Rosh, look at the Rosh in Marcus. Rosh and Marcus
says Mispraim Kain Tar. Mispraim Kain Tar is also by Pesach Rosh.
No, today it's a machlokes there. It's a machlokes. It's machlokes.
The Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring the tzad that's batter.
The Shulchan Aruch brings a machlokes. Mispraim Kain Tar is mutter by Pesach Rosh. So like one day, Mispraim Kain Tar is mutter by Pesach Rosh also, right?
Right.
Ayat HaKofa. How could you be masig that it's mutter, it's hard to say that you could take an electric shaver, like one sheet, and cut off Pesach Rosh, does that mamash HaKofa? The Rosh in Marcus in the back.
It's not HaKofa because it's not Derech Giluach.
You're saying that you let it take...
According to the Tzad,
why is that Giluach? Why isn't it Giluach?
Because Giluach means with a tar.
So if Giluach means a tar, then Yehuda would have said Sam is Mutter because it's not a tar. Why? Well, all the Pesachim, I'm a falpul if Sam is Mutter not. Well, what's all pilpul? It's not tar.
By Pesach Reish, you're saying?
No, but there's a zok game. Because it's mashchis. If there was a din of tar, so then you'll look through 5, 10 achrayim, the mafalpul, if sam is muta by peis hazokin.
Right.
Why are they mafalpul so much? Let them say, listen, you need tar.
I don't know. So what is the answer?
The answer is anything that's mashchis is awesome.
But the Gemara says not like that. The Gemara are darshins. You need both. The Gemara brings two.
No, wait. Misparayim is muta and mak nor mak shei because it leaves over. B'shem erishenim. So if it leaves over, the child here is misparayim. Anything that's mashkes also. Misparayim is muta because it's not a mashkes. They state in al erishenim.
No, not because it's darshin. It is mashkes. It's just not.
How's it
mashkes?
No, it says because it leaves over. Miki Yosef there says, and the Rashi says, Rivon says there that it's muta because it leaves over. 100%. Look at the Miki Yosef there. Miki Yosef Makkah says because it leaves over. Tendler told me that Ramesha holds, you're right, the reason why it's muta is because it leaves over. But they plug. The Torah was mata, a misprime, if it works like a misprime, even if it takes off everything. So if all the Gdeilim held like that is a Munich Chachom. But to say that Le Plug is a Chiddush of Ramesha, that what do I need? I can tell you over. Talmud of Rabaran said, that everyone knows it, Moshe Heinemann knows it, it's Gaina Gainim. And someone showed him the face after, and he touched the face. He used to touch the face and over it. He says he's not Masig Haikvimata.
Let me answer your question. The whole lake was shaved. How did they do that?
Oh, yes, King. That's why we're on. That's what we're talking about. This is everyone brings a raya from the kash. There's a kasha. How many cows could be that in lake could someone use it when the haliger is behind the mordas to use it? So what do people do? Say it's got to be muta. So the answer to the kash. There's another answer. No, the answer is tell them to stop using it.
So you're saying Rab Aaron? You're saying Rab Aaron was didn't say anything. Who are over 5 Isuri Daraisa because he was intimidated of the Bachram.
No, so I asked this Kasha to Bianca Kenneski. I asked it. He's a Muncie. I said I didn't ask it myself. I said they's Taina that he can't say Rab Aaron acid because why wasn't he Meicha? So. The Eler of Yankee told me the Starkite. It's no Raya because the Baron did not know every machine they used. He used to test out. They used to come to him and used to see if it left over or not. He didn't know. That's what Yankee told me.
But he
so
didn't.
Those days, 50 years ago,
he couldn't look at the boys and see boys who had stubble and boys who didn't.
Instead of bringing Rayas, why Smutta, if you have 5 Adim that heard me piv, Bel Yevav Achvil heard me piv, that it's Asa. And he asked Rav Aaron, is this a chumra or not? So you're going to say, why didn't he stop it? So therefore, it's a riot, it's mata. So don't be meicha. Maybe he had a reason to be meicha. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because it's inconceivable to me. You brought the Shulchan Aruch that says that has the same chumra of Hilchos Shabbos, the 5 Lavin, right? So I'm telling you that If the boys were being Michal Shabbos in Lakewood, would Rav Aaron kept the yeshiva open to be able to have the yeshiva?
Therefore, what do you have to do? Do you have to use it? I'm telling you what Rav Yankov
said.
Why didn't Rav Yankov say it?
I don't know why, but I'll tell you what I heard.
I'm telling you what the real eights is. I'll tell you about Kill Cut as an Anakel.
Yeah, no,
he told me that I could announce in his name that his grandfather asked it.
Let me ask you better. On Rav Melchiel Kotel, why don't you ask him? 90% of the boys in Lakewood shave. And according to
90%, kid.
Okay, and they're being over on Chil Shabbos, the equivalent of Chil Shabbos. So why doesn't he close the yeshiva if he believes that he's has the yeshiva for Michal and Shabbos? And don't tell me that he doesn't know that there's no stubble left, okay?
Listen. He and the other yeshivas gave a letters to try, but he said that he writes there that his grandfather was Machmer, and Reb Shneur, the son, told Moshe Wiener, that whatever you write about my father is 100% true, that Baron Acid. I'll tell you over a story you're bringing up for Baron.
But you're not answering. Robert, let's stay with
this question. I'll tell you what the answer is. We have time of Eliyahu HaNavi. There was a Yitzhar David Azora, and Eliyahu HaNavi was going around telling him, he had a, I told the Rav in New York, he said he holds it also. I said, yeah, you can ask for it, but run to a cave and the Eibush will send Irvim. We are in a matter of a Yitzhar David Azora here. There's a Ruach of Heta, and everyone, he tells someone, it's like something like Lashon Hara. Just yesterday, someone told me.
So wait, wait, Rabbi, what's
our?
You're telling me that Ramalkiel Kotla is keeping the yeshiva in Lakewood open, where all the Bachram are Mechalei Shabbos, because it's
right.
Like Yisrael is starting to not be good,
though. So I'll tell you what the answer is.
I'll tell you what the answer is.
Ruach.
What are you going to say?
It's a Yisrael Ramalkiel Kotla. What does grandfather held?
I don't know, but I'm asking you, so what's the answer?
What people do is, they say we have this kasha, so therefore it's got to be muta.
So I'm
asking
you,
I'll tell you what Meir Roy says, that's what they say.
Yeah.
There's like this, one Meir Roy in Lakewood says, three Meir Roy spoke with Rabin, that it's also.
Right.
One Meir Roy is mata, so the kasha is, I asked him, I heard Baron Acid, and he himself says that you shouldn't rely on Ramosha's Heta by Sarisha Tefach, because the Rabban's a Moshe de Asra. He said, Ain't a client Rabban Acid, but only Acid it for Yechidim. That's what he told me.
Okay,
and
so let me tell you what Rabbi Elie Shvei said, okay? And I heard this from Rabbi Yudi Shvei said this from his father. He said, Rabban, I don't know what the exactness was. He didn't want the beards in the yeshiva. He knew the boys would want beards. So he said, "Sekedai Reb Moshe Simech Sinefem." Those were his exact words. "Sekedai Echal Tasa Asa Up as Sekedai Reb Moshe Simech Sinefem." That's what the Baron said.
Right. So now, Menachem Per, this is what he's saying. Reb Elie Shvei said, Menachem Per told me that he used to go to Bali Tshuva to save them from Tad using razors with electric shaver. So Baron told him, you're not gaining anything. Yes, the Rosh Hashiva. Why isn't the Rosh Hashiva Meicha? His answer was, Kaven the Dosh Dosh. That's all.
What does that mean?
So Menachem Peres, Achille Peres' father, as I said, he couldn't, since he's a guy, and he couldn't ask him, what does he mean? Yechiel Peres heard, he held that today, on today's machines, he will call up Yechiel Peres, he heard from Rabban that Miss Brian came time means it's got to leave over. Moshe Einman said that. And you look at the Russian Makis.
Hello.
Russian,
What does it mean, Kivin the Dosh Dosh? That since it's an Issa Daraisa five times, and the Dosh Dosh. Well, he didn't say to me, they're not showing him. He announced it. Everybody knew Rabban's Psak.
So, you know what? Someone he told that it's also can't continue using it because he didn't go to the Bima and say that it's also. But no one understands it. You know, we're relying on something we don't understand. The time of Yon Navi. We don't understand why the Gdelum Horn is Mecher.
Rebellious said that Rabban said it's Kedai Ramosha to be Simachon. And those were exactly what
Rebellious
said.
Yeah, but Rebellious Shrey told me there was same Rebellious Shrey told me that it's Mutter, and they want to write an article in Jewish Observer about all the Gdelum that answer it. So Rebellious Shrey stopped. So I called, Pam wanted to go in.
Rebellious Shrey stopped them from writing a letter answering it.
They're writing not a letter. They wanted to write the whole story in the Jewish Observer.
Right.
And Rabban wanted it to go in, and Rebellious Shvei stopped it. So Rabban told me, call him up, find out why. He said very stark that he takes a chrayas at his mutter, et cetera. I don't want to say everything he said, but I asked him a kasha before Rosh Hashanah. How could B'nai Torah go against Chofetz Chaim Chazon Ish? Perry mentioned Chaim Reis also, because according to that Eidus, by saying Chofetz Chaim Chazon Ish, it's Yevah Fayvam, Chofetz Chaim is a Pesach Achron. You know what he said to me? Good Shabbos, good Yom Tov. It was right before Shana. He had no answer. Let the Rashivas answer this question. You know what the Rashivas should go?
I'll tell you what he was
together.
Answering you. Rabbi Litvak, I'll tell you what he was answering you.
Yeah.
He was answering you. When I listed before 20 Gedolim.
The 20 Gedolim that are Mata, a lot of Gedolim are Mata because Ramesh was Mata.
No. Way before Rav Moshe. Again, I told you, Rav Chaim.
Why isn't it a Suffolk Derisa?
So it's interesting. Somebody came to Rav Moshe. I heard this from Rav Shlomo Zev Kalbach. He's an Edom by Rashiva of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. He said, and he sent somebody to ask Rav Moshe. He said it was a younger man, Pesel Diskin. He said, should he be Machmir? And Rav Moshe got all upset. He said, be Machmir? Are you going to be machmir not to cut your challis on Shabbos because it's a shayla of koitzer? He said,
why is that called be? It's mevazir chavetz chaim.
So I'll tell you what Rav Moshe said. This is what Rav Shurkin, is one of his closest talmidim, writes in the Sefer.
Yeah, good.
Rav Moshe held that if you take out the blade of a shaver today, and I did it this morning to check. Even though I grabbed I'd use a trimmer, but I checked it. You can't cut your finger on it. It's so. How does it work? It works that because of the rotations and the high speed, it smashes the hair against the screen, and it destroys the hair. So Rav Moshe said to him, he said, if you would take two stones and rub them against the hair.
I'm not saying he has a right to his opinion.
So let me just finish. He said that wouldn't have a din of tar to destroy it. So he said, Moshe says, any hair, he would take a hair out. If you take the hair and press it against the blade and it doesn't split, that means it's not being done by giluach, it's done by destruction, and that's bechlal not what the Torah said. Let me finish. And in the Chafetz Chaim, you see a stira. His son-in-law writes that he was Matir. In other places, in Makkos, he seems to Aser. So the Chafetz Chaim. And you see, and he was, so one of the...
Where was he Matir? I'm telling you, Gershon Zaks told me. How do you know whether you're saying Michal Shurkin says over and
No. I'm talking about the Chafetz Chaim. I quoted from his son-in-law the exact language.
But that was a misperion that leaves over something.
So let me just finish. I saw Sefer writes, we don't know what machine he was looking at. He was looking at a machine called a Schick safety razor, which has a real razor embedded in it. And on that, the Chafetz Chaim said it's usher. So today's shavers...
Gillette razor, you mean?
No, it was very popular at the time. It was in the 1920s. It was called the Schick safety razor. And it had a very So he writes that this that he was usher is when it was a razor. And when he was Mater, it was when it wasn't a razor. So Rav Moshe, who says that it's Mutter because there's no blade inside.
Look, I want to tell you something. I hear what you're saying, but let's just, you believe whatever they say over the Shem Rav Moshe. Rav Gershon Zaks told me what Rav Mendel Zaks heard, Mipiv Chofetz Chaim, that a machine that takes off everything is tar. He told me the Zaydat Gaasit. And but the Chiddush of Chofetz Chaim was because they had left over something. Why is it when you say over from the family, the children of Chofetz Chaim, what the Chofetz Chaim held, people are mafakbik on it? It's got to be wrong.
Why is it that
they're mafakbik on it, but when someone says, it's mutter. The answer is, I'll tell you the real answer is, they got used to this convenience. This is our style of life, that we have to have this. They have children that are very modern, and they can't stop them from
eating. So why was Rav Moshe for that reason? Rav Moshe was matter for political reasons?
No, chas v'shalom. We have to be nizah in the covered of Rav Moshe. Moshe has a right to hell, yes. But let's talk on my...
Was Rav Henkin matter for political reasons?
No, Rav Henkin was only...
What about Rav Chatzkel Abramsky? Was he matter for political reasons?
I don't
know
which machine he's talking about.
Okay.
There were machines then.
When the Chuvus van Hugges writes...
Why is it Rav Moshe? I'll tell you over from David Feinstein. Shows the sheker here. Rodovi Feinstein told me Norelka wrote a track is also because it's sharp.
Yeah, that could be.
So I asked him, why aren't you mefarsimit? I asked him. So he said, I can't be mefarsimit because there's someone in his family that's matrit. So I told someone, you know, Rodovi Feinstein, Dovah Feinstein asks, why are you using it? He says, I got a heter from a rabbi. You notice that no one knows exactly. There's no tshuva from Ramesh. How could you lie on a psak? Everyone says about Peh. There's no tshuva from him.
But everybody says the same thing. The Ramesh would say, take a hear and press it against it. If the hear
right.
Spot,
so, but why is it there, machlekes in the mishpat? But when you go, someone goes over to Rav and wants to find out if Ramesh is Matis machine, this Rav had never spoke to Ramesh. He doesn't have a Kabbalah to know from Ramesh what you need to be Matrit. You see it yourself. Rav David Feinstein asked the machine, and in his family, there's a machlekes now in the Talmidim, which machines today is Mata.
Because
so how is it a Kabbalah from Ramesh? How could anyone?
Rabbi,
you ask someone to call yourself, I'm relying on Ramesh. So you could ask, how do you know this machine is Mata?
I'm telling you, this
thing,
you take
the blade out.
You take the blade out and you put your finger against it and you see. If you're afraid you're going to cut yourself, it's a problem. And if you're not, you don't have a problem.
Does anyone do that? I'm 100% sure no one does that.
I'm
telling you, no one does it. You do it because you know the Indian. But people in Australia know it. People in Australia know it.
Rabbi Litvak, to my knowledge, I can't think of a machine today that I've seen that if you put your finger against it, you would cut your finger.
So why did Rav Dovah Feinstein ask a certain machine?
But there was one machine, I guess, that had a very
But the ones that he asked, that Klai Yisrael was using. And they said, I don't care what Rav Dovah Feinstein says.
Rabbi Litvak, let's sum up.
I want to tell you something else. I want to tell you, the het of Ramesh is not big sab. You have to have a clear cut. What Ramesh used to tell everyone, I'm only mata what I see. He had a way of testing it. How he tested it, no one knows clear.
Knows clear. They say they took a hair out of the
I want to ask you, some people in Australia, England, this and that, do they really know? Do they really know what Ramesh is? They don't open it up. They just go to the store and they buy it.
So Rabbi
let's ask about. I spoke to someone from the union, said, listen, they give a share of everything.
Rabbi
did anyone say?
Agree, so would you agree then that if somebody does what Ramesh says, and takes the hair out and sees is the blade sharp or not, that he could use it? Would you agree with that?
No, I don't agree, because
why
the
not?
Ten Rosh Behag's all it's also. You're not allowed to be Noyeg Keneged Chofetz Chaim. You're not allowed to be Noyeg Keneged. Look in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, the top Meiroi is Rav Yashiv, Shem Zalman Erbach. And in Eretz Yisrael, they also use it a lot.
Rabbi,
why don't they use it in Eretz Yisrael? What's the territory of Moshe Mat of Eretz Yisrael?
I don't know. Rabbi Litvak, would you agree in America?
Well,
Ramesh,
no, I don't agree, because it's a
biggest,
for Chumra.
Would you agree?
Let me ask you, would anyone buy tefillin without a Kutzei Shel Yud? Ramesh said, Klar, you don't need a Kutzei Shel Yud. There was an advertisement in the Jewish Observer that about Kutzei Shel Yud. There was a whole asifa, and Ramesh holds you don't need a Kutzei Shel Yud. There isn't one Yid that will buy tefillin without a Kutzei Shel Yud. Why? Because the Chofetz Chaim Lozenish holds it's not kosher tefillin. So here you have a Chofetz Chaim and he's saying you have a 5-11. Don't bother me. How do we know that the Loch is like Ramesh? Why isn't it a subject of Raisa? You're talking about B'nai Terah Tzadikim. So why do you buy tefillin for $2,000? Buy tefillin for a couple hundred dollars and say, get a heter from a Rav. Why do you buy an Esrig without Fleck?
Rabbi Litvak, do you agree that Ramesh is the biggest Pesach who ever lived in the Western Hemisphere?
I don't know. I didn't give Bechinus. I didn't give. Who am I to say how big he is?
Is there another?
But not the negative Zaynish and Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim is the place of Gachman. Sofik the Reis of Chumra.
Hello.
Now let us say it.
We don't know what machine the Chavetz Chaim was looking at, right?
I'm telling you,
his son-in-law writes on certain machines he was.
I don't know, son-in-law. Look, everyone's running to the son-in-law. I'm telling you, Remendel Zach said over to his children that you're not allowed to use electric shavers because of Chofetz Chaim. Anyone who says that the Chofetz Chaim was master is telling.
So basically,
Chofetz Chaim would have said it. Let me ask. Why didn't
Rabbi Litvak, listen to me.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Chofetz Chaim Lakut Elochus Makis says, Ms. Prime, it doesn't say anything that it's sharp. He would have said the reason why he's asking because it's sharp. There was a clipper called Null. And he held that doesn't leave over enough, and that's what he says over there. And in Machni Yisrael, he says, Mufurish, Misprayim Kintar is an unclean shave. So if Misprayim Kintar means unclean shave, all these shaves are also like the Chofetz Chaim. Now let it go against the Chofetz Chaim.
So Rabbi Litvak,
I'm telling you, even Ramesh was afraid of the Chofetz Chaim.
Rabbi
Rav told him, it's only a Chumrah.
Rabbi, let's talk a few things, okay? Number one, would you agree then that a shaver that leaves a drop of hair is fine?
That you have that someone like Rabbi Yashiv will be matter, because Rabbi Yashiv told me Kov, it's mashkes, it's also, and he was mechabed Ramesha more than the ones that use electric shaving.
I'm asking you, if you leave over a drop of hair, if it's not set on the
that's
lowest...
That's something else. It's not a mashkes. It's not a mashkes. That
so
I can't
say.
So
now you agree. So what you're saying is that if it's a shave that leaves absolutely nothing, it's a problem. That's your point.
Not a question of problem. You have, let's go to say the today's poskim, not the Friedrich. Rav Yashiv, Rav Frank, and let's say someone's living in Bnei Brak. I guess someone living in Bnei Brak, why do you use
Frank,
it?
Rav Frank said it's because you could push against the skin, the issue was yanking.
All right, so you can say don't press. They press. They don't worry, they press. For some mysterious reason, the Olam got so used to it, we're not listening to Gdol Yisrael. It's not,
well,
we're not listening to our Gdol. Rav Yashiv Zichel is also. Chaim Kineski B'Gri is also.
Okay.
So Rav Yashiv...
All the Chazinish, and all the Talmidim held it's also, period.
Yeah, so why is it in the Suffolk Deraisa? You can't, you know, someone says it's the Suffolk Deraisa. You're not stepping on the cover of Moshe.
So somebody asked Rav Moshe this very question. And
so that's Rav Moshe old, because he's the Mata. But
is Rav Moshe the Mara the Astra of America, Rabbi Litwak?
Not a Blakewood.
Okay.
So why do you make an Erevin Borough Park if he's the Mara the Astra? So anyone who uses the Erevin Flats in Borough Park can't use the electric chairs because he's saying he's not the Mara the Astra.
So, Miss, so you don't hold Rav Moshe as the Mara the Astra of America?
I'm not going into that. You see, we're going into, first of all, he's not living now. So after period, the Vilna Gaon, the Mara the Astra of Vilna, he's not living. He was Nifta 30 years ago. How could he be the Mara the Astra?
So would you,
like
in Vilna, would you in Vilna do something that was against Connecticut the Gras?
So why do they make an Erev in Borough Park and Flatbush, Connecticut Ramesha? Someone who uses the Erev can't use electric shaver.
I would tell you that I wouldn't use the
Erev in
Borough Park.
Let me ask you. I'll tell you.
And I would ask Adem if they use the Borough Park, if they use the Erev before.
They use the Borough Park. Look. Everyone's, thousands of people are using the Erev. They're going to say, according to Dale and Sash, how can you say they're using it? But they're using it. So they're using that. So they hold that it's mutter. They hold it's not the
So Rabbi Litwak, what it boils down to is,
Let me tell you something else.
Let me just do a
There's Moses Sada Ruchni that went, have a letter here. They used to go to Bali Tshuva to save them from Atar, these go with these electric shavers. But when Kiyam Shaboy Rua Bashem Khazani Shain Limka Shuma Khainas Kiluach Lemishma Galeh Tar. In other words, he held even someone using a razor shouldn't, because this is also tar, so they stopped doing it. His name is Ramad Chai Cheshen. He came to America and he asked me an important kasha. They stopped me from saving Yidden from tar in the kibbutzim because the Zainish says tar. Here I see the Shens of Bnei Torah are using it. What's going on here? What's going to say the answer? Is it the right that the Zainish made a mistake?
No, they're stepping on the Zainish.
If someone doesn't use it, no complaint. He wants a higgy, grow a beard, pat, what are you times? But someone uses it, he's saying, I don't care what the Zainish says. That's what he's saying. I don't care. You tell me. Someone lives in Yerushalayim. Yashiv was then the Pesach of Yerushalayim. How could you use it in Yerushalayim? He's Zichat the Asra. You're going to say it's Mutta because Ramesh is Asra. He's not the Asra of Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, Zichat can't use it.
So
how do you answer Eretz Yisrael? Someone is living here in America. Why is he using? Because there's a Yisahara. Why do people speak Lashon Hara? Because
I think, Rabbi Litvak, to say that when you have everybody, and again, I'll go through the list, from Reb Chaim Moshe, Reb Chatzkel Abramsky, Rav Cook, Reb Tzvi Hirsch Michelson, the Melamed Lahayel, the Magin Shol, Rav Henkin, Reb Moshe, Reb Yonason Steif, the Kloisenberger Rebbe, Reb Avadi Yosef.
Kloisenberger Rebbe Yassis. I'm sorry. Venko is never matter. Venko is not matter.
Okay, I'm printing it online. I have the tshuva in front of me. I mean, so you could say you could
from
look
who?
It
from
online
who?
And say it's a lie from Rav Henkin. The Divrei
I have the tshuva. Yeah, good. What did he say?
The Divrei Yatziv, Yeredeya Samach Aleph, He says,
why
it is a shaver? Because it's Einin Egeya Babasa Klal because of the screen, right?
Yeah, but he used to test it out if it doesn't touch.
Well, if you put
he used to test it out if it doesn't touch, he opened it up. You could ask, I say the person
that
told me.
You close it up. That's how you tell if it closes. You keep it closed. That's how you tell if it touches.
No, he used it. Someone told me if Henkin opened up the sheen system, he hums ensured that the blade will not touch the skin. Why did he just say?
No, he probably did it because of Ramesh's reason, to see if we're sharp.
I don't know why. Why can't we do it the best way?
I'm not ready to be macabre.
These 20 Dalem are matter.
And you're saying it's because of Yetzirah that they will matter it?
No. I'm not saying Yetzirah. It's to go against the Chofetz Chaim. Chazon Ish is a direct attack on their covet. If someone doesn't use it, he's not attacking anybody.
Really?
He's not attacking Ramosha.
Well, really?
Didn't say you have to use it.
Let me ask you a question. Do you use a Chazon Ish's shear on Revius? Do you all the anhagas of the Chazon Ish?
One second. We're talking about Yidden and Eretz Yisrael. And Yidden and Eretz Yisrael, according to Zayn, if the Zaynish would say that this is Chil Shabbos, could someone in Bnei Brak go against Rav Eisen? Rav Eisen is the master of the Mara. He holds that it's an Issa Dereis.
I don't know if someone
in the Debrit Devetzina holds it's also. I asked someone why. I'm showing you that the Sheker here. I asked the younger man why he uses it if his Meir Roh is the Devrasina Roh. And Devrasina asked, you know what he said to me? I asked the Devrasina all my Shailas, but when it comes to the Gesheva, I run to the side to ask Reb Dovin. That's a Sheker. What do you mean? Your Rav is the Devrasina. Well, what do you go to? That's what people are doing. They convey a Rav for everything.
So you're pointing out,
like Rav, Sheva, or
you're
point, my Rav.
Rabbi Litvak, you're pointing out that there are people who use cherry picking for Shilas. Okay, that's true.
You're telling me, you ask Akasha why there's yeshivas in Lakewood aren't meichig. I'm telling you why. They told me. Because it's very spread out. And they know that the Baruch Hu say, don't bother me, Ramesh Shemata. Because
right.
I'm telling you what happened.
That's what Ramesh Shemata
told me I could say in the name of his grandfather in Lakewood dining room that his grandfather, you shouldn't use it because his grandfather asked it. While I was speaking, a whole group of Bokhrim were outside dancing, laughing at me. A week later, one of the Bokhrim came over to me and looked like he was going to choke me. You can't say you can't rely on Ramesh. The Rashivas are smart enough to know that they're going to say, Ramesh, don't bother me. They're not going to listen to Brian. And they're going to run to the
but,
How could it be?
I'm telling you, Rebbe Yishei was an Adam Neman, right? And he said, Reb Aaron himself said that Ramesh is Kedai to be Simachan.
I don't know what you're saying. Could be Kedai. I'm telling you what I know. I don't know what Rebbe Yishrei is saying. I'm telling you what you're asking me what the correct thing to do is. Do not use it because there's 10 Rashka bags that holds this derisive.
Okay, so basically,
I can show you a lot of these are born in the mat and probably didn't even see the Kvega. I'm telling you, the Masham Chelik Beis Simur Yesh Megimel says Mefurish that a Mesprayim that doesn't take off everything, that takes off everything is Tar. Mefurish. Look at the truest Masham Chelik Beis Simur Yesh Megimel. And Shemiz Amon Erbach, Yichavz Chaim Chazon Ish, you have so many doing Masham. The way it says here, Chazam Sefer said a Tar, Mesprayim takes off everything is Tar. Look up the Kvega, the Gdelem would see, the Gdelem that were Mata, would see this Kvega, they would say, we can't go against a Kvega.
Rabbi Akiva Ege is going on Peyus HaReish.
I'm telling you, but you keep on repeating. Take out the Tshuva Shevet
Tzokka, and he says,
that Peyus Zokin, it's a Mesprayim that takes off Peyus Zokin completely is Tar. That's what the Tshuva says. And he says, look over there. If he says, look over there, if he argued on that, Baruch, look at this Tshuva Shem Tzokka Baruch.
Okay.
And it says, so I'm telling all the Gdelem that were Mata, that they would see Kveg, and that one God would have a horse. They couldn't have seen it because the Shem Tzokka was reprinted 10, 15 years ago. You look at now the bringing and the size of Kvega. Aside from Shulchan Aruch, to bring the lashon of the Shem Tzedakah, which is talking about Pei Zokin. Gain is bigger than any gadol today, brings a Truvas Shem Tzedakah that says, by Pei Zokin, I saw it, and Miss Brian that takes of everything is tar. Because it's mashkes.
We'll look at the Shem
Tzedakah. Someone says, the Kveg is a toys, it's an apokaris.
Wait, what are you saying?
Someone said, I can't be noig. Someone noig, but to say that the Kveg was a toy. He says, I am the Truva Shem Tzedakah. And brings, I showed one of the Rabbanu Ramata, this Truva Shem Tzedakah, and he brings from the Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel was Deir Paiskim. So he looked at it and it got to Shrukin. And I asked someone to call him up. He said, I don't want to have anything to do with it. As soon as he saw, Kveg says, I am B'tshuva Shem Tzedakah. And you know what the Beis Hillel is? Beis Hillel is one of the Gedolei HaPoskim. It says, Mefurish, a Mesprime that takes off Pei Zokin completely is Tar. Did all these Rabbanim that you mentioned see this Kveg B'Shem Tzedakah? They would see it, they would change their mind, 100%. Maybe even Ramesha would back up. How can you say it's mutter if Kvegas says brings it this? I can't argue. You could say if Shasat Chak, modern people, you're afraid they might use this. But from the Torah, between Noy, Kineg, Kvegas, well, it's one. Never was such a thing. This to Klai, so. So I wrote a letter to Reb Chaim Konevsky on Tisha B'Av, I wrote it to him. There's a whole problem with the drafting army. True with Tvila Tzokim, I've been in Zerah Gezerah. How could the truth be in the Skabal if they're using Tar? So you know what he wrote to me, you know, his daughter showed him, that's how he was naig, and his answer was, what you're saying is right. Dvar Tzoytkim, it's a letter from Chaim Konevsky. I have it over here. I wrote to him like this. The matzav shall b'nei Torah shall write some dina shom l'shleach b'nei Torah l'tzvohu gzeirin l'roya k'muvin u'truva t'vila tzok ma'vinus r'en gzeirin. The calls, matzav b'nei Torah m'shtam shim m'chayin skiluach hei shach truva. The case of any mikta betshuva ptisha by the shaykh, the ze echad miak ve'agula prat shebnei teira shom besakona tzichem lahafsi mishtamish mechayin skiluach rashi shiva tzichem lahachris v'chol tekev shal yishtamish bedovah shoyvim ve'ilavim prat mematzah zu shal sakona chashavti kama pom lichta mikta zu avol yeim tisha bov gemarati b'dayt lichta v'bakish lasim ze the kovid rav. The daughter said harav Konevsky shlita oma yitochin miyed hu tzedek. Leah Kolodesky, Abasha Rav, because she used to sew. He couldn't write. He doesn't write because he got a lot of letters. He agreed that this might be Makve Agula. Mashiach Kanz, Mashiach Hultaina, to the Rashi, why more? How do you know? Maybe the Rashi should get together. Even if they can't do anything, at least let them crech. The Chofetz Chaim asked the Rav of his city, why? There's a lot of Chilas Shabbos in your city. Why? Why don't you do anything? He said, listen, I'm an Alta Yid. I can't change. He said, yeah, but at least you could crech. Let the Rashi get together and say, let's crech. Tazant of B'nai Torah are being over 5-11 according to these Rashke Bahags, and we're sitting aside and saying we can't do anything about it. But at least if they can't do anything about it, at least let them krechts, let them sit shiva, let them do something that Yidden are over 5-11. So you can tell me from the relying on the child, I bet you.
Rabbi Litvak, two things, okay. The Chuvis Rabbi Kivega, which he brings by Giluach Peyas Arash, it's not some favorfin or Rabbi Kiva Ega in the Hashmatis to Uktzin, right? It's in the it's in Kuf Pe'alef in Giluach, right?
So but they didn't all, have
all the, wait one second. All the Rabban, if Rabbi Kiva Ega had it, we could assume all of them had it. So you're not bavizing some new Marumakim. So you're basically saying that the 20 Gedolim who I mentioned, none of them knew a Rabbi Kiva Ega in Kuf Pe'alef in Shulchan Aruch on the simon that they were writing, which to me is honestly, I don't know, it's sort of
disrespectful
for those Gedolim. I will look it up. And second of all, Rabbi Kivega doesn't say he paskins like that. He just says Ayin Barucha.
But how
could
it be yelled differently? He would say Ayin Shom. How can he say Ayin Shom if he yells differently?
Rabbi Kivega stole.
He says he wants you to look at it.
Well, let's talk. Where do you live, by the way?
I live in Kensington.
Do you use the Erev?
No. I literally don't use an Erev. I don't use an Erev because I never used an Erev.
So why don't you scream against the people who use Erev that according to Ramesha, every dollar damas they walk, they're being Michal Shabbos?
Because Ramesha also said he's not Meicha, one of the Sforim. Ramesha said, first of the late debate says it's Mutta, because it's not Shishan Rebu Yayma. How are you getting on top of the subject of different Hanhogas? But look at the Messiah's Shomas for Taiches. The Beis Yosef says,
Rav Litvak, do you know that the Mesil Shisharim himself shaved?
He didn't use electric shaver. He used powder. Look at this. The Shlomo Zalman, Talmid Gra, he had a whole machlekes with the Zokin Echad Muflik B'Teira, being in Isuri Mechitz. So he said, the Zokin told the Shlomo Zalman, Talmid Gra, he said, I'm old. I never saw anyone should be makbid in such a thing. How could it be? Shiyanela meini eidah dava asa shutalmid horo fush beite in suffix that it must be a het. Onat, Rav Zalman said to him like this, how much money does a person invest before he makes sure that it's a good investment? And how many arvainas, mashkainas, mivakesh, they shouldn't lose his money. So when it comes to Elam Hazeh, everyone makes sure to be 100% secure that he's not going to lose money. So even in Achshash Rochuk, he's not going to make an investment to lose money. Is kama onu chayovim lasis bedarkei tera mitzvah shein oimdim rumei shaloylum veich yoniach derech kvusha shedorchu bo abeisena kadmoinim v'nachnis asmeina mishal akromim ok mitzah osmach amunas heta shein lo sherish. The Zokman is telling me it can't be that this is also was something about an Merchis probably maybe taking children there, whatever it is. But the old man said, look, I'm an old man, and so many people do it, it can't be also. So he said, so he gave a marshal, would you anyone make an investment if he's not secure, any chance to lose money? We're fooling around with five lavim there. You can't say that there's no shaila. Why? Because this one is my davar. How could that be? And you can bring riots for other cases, this and this and that. I'm saying it's very shy. Take out the Shemitz Stoker, the Helikr Kvega, Gain Againim. You can't say that there's no Tadal Issa. If someone says to me, I'm telling that it's a Bezig Daily Israel to say there's no Shaila. If someone says, what could I do? My whole kila uses it. I can't change, and they're not going to listen to me. He speaks with Eilkite. I'll tell you. There was a Nesifa Rosh Hashivas, and one Rosh Hashivas, I showed him the list of Gdelem. So he said to me, what's all this, Ogun? The whole Welt is no egg like Ramesha. No, you can't do anything about it. So he's speaking with Eilkite. But what some say is, no, there's no Shaila. And all the Gdelem were mate because they weren't Meicha. What do you mean? There's a Ksav Yad from all the Gdelem. By the time you're playing around the fire, everyone brings a Raya, like this old man. He says, can't be also because so many people do it. So Shem Salman said, would you make an investment? Because if you had a chash of losing all your money, would you rely on it? Same thing over here.
So let me ask you, why won't the Balabatim listen?
Try ask the Rav why he doesn't answer it.
Asking you why, but why won't the Balabatim listen?
Because they're going to tie in a Ramesh Amata.
No, because they need it for their lifestyle, right?
Well, you answered, could any Rav or Shiva get up to the beam and say...
No, I'm asking you a question, Rabbi Litzak. If somebody came and they said, you know, I want to get a job in a law firm, and... you know, it's very hard for me to have a beard, right? I couldn't get the job. Would you understand why he doesn't want it?
Yeah, because that's what's happening. I mean, 40, 50 years ago, people were traveling on Shabbos in the train because they couldn't get a job. So they work in Shabbos. Shabbos.
So you're saying just like people will Michal Shabbos because
it's not good to be Medaima.
If they want to shave, it's like being Michal, and they're doing
And people are going to think that I'm Malshin Kleiser. We're trying to make a takana here. They should stop using it.
Rabbi Litvak, do you understand that people need Parnassa? And for many jobs, being clean shaven is important. And therefore, a Rav says, you know, it's responsible for you to shave. You have many, many Moirei Ruah Matarit. You need Parnassa. You don't want to live on government programs. And therefore, Yes, you have a head to the shade. Do you understand
we're
that
talking
or not?
About, but I turn now. I want to talk about every case is different.
Well,
I don't want to answer that question.
Well, you're talking about
Rabbanim.
Well, we're
talking about,
but
they're going to say, Balbatan say, you cannot tell me. It's also, if in Lakewood, Bochum use it.
Do you think if somebody says, you know, I have to be clean shaven, I need it for my job, is it mutter to use a shaver? Can
I'm
I use
not
a gonna shaver?
Answer such a question. I'm not going to. But you see, it's not like this. You see that the, in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't allow this year of Cheshen to take an electric shaver to save them from a razor. So I'm not going to fight with the Zaynish. I would avoid
okay.
it. I'm not going to
so,
answer.
So
I don't
the
wanna,
question is, do we go into Chazaynish or the Gedolim?
At least the Sofik,
okay.
yeah, you're allowed to give okay. a Sofik the Raisa to someone to save from Tar. So it's big shayla. Chaim Knesset holds, you're not allowed to. Shlomo Zalman told me that it's Sofik the Raisa, and you could give it to someone using a razor. Chaim Knesset, I told it to Chaim Knesset. Chaim Knesset said you can't, but Riyasha held Zavadi the rice.
Rabbi Litvak, do you eat turkey?
We're getting off the subject.
No, I'm asking you a question.
Of my saying this is that
turkey?
The Torah.
I'm asking you a question. Do you eat turkey?
I eat turkey, yes.
Yeah, so. It's a Sofik the Raisa. There were many Gedolim who held that you're not allowed to because there's no Kabbalah on it, and therefore it's an Oif Tameit. So do you eat turkey? Why aren't you Simon? Why aren't you Chayshish for those Gedolim?
I don't know each case. I never was miming myself.
You're trifling up your kelim. You're trifling up your kitchen.
So you're going to say, let me ask you, so you're going to say, by tefillin also, do you have Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam?
Do you wear tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam every day? It's my next question.
There's no end to it, so why do you
exactly.
buy an anything without flecking?
That's exactly my point.
No, but we're trying
you
to
have,
say...
So just like
I'll
you
tell you daily raw,
just like you don't need, just like you not the biggest gadol hera that ever by his levi I was there in Bnei Brak, and they said that he would have been a gadol in the zman of the Chassam Sofer. They don't say it about anybody else.
Yeah, but
right?
the Rav Shach,
he was
matir
today.
Savers, tell him to use it. Rav Shach acid using electric shaving.
I said that the one who they said would have been a gadol of my rav, a gadol in the time of Chassam Sofer. They didn't say
look
that.
Look
at you
saying with
Shach,
Turkey.
Right?
If my rav would say it's also, I would not use it. But I'm telling you, over here,
you put on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin every day.
Right,
then?
I don't put on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin.
So
you say it's a raya.
So according to many, but you're a kakafta the way manach tzilin, according to many people.
No, but the end of Mishnah Brura says that the loch is like Rashi.
But what do you have to learn?
Do you have anyone, Pesach today, that our Pesach is the Chofetz Chaim? He's saying that it's a Nisa D'Raisa. But the Baal Mishnah says the loch is like Rashi. That's why you have a Mishnah Brura.
Right.
But the Baal Mishnah is an Ongenum of Pesach Achron, says that it's a Nisa D'Raisa.
Why? What do you have to lose of putting on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin?
So everyone puts on tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam once in a lifetime.
Well, according to the Prima Gadim, you have to do it every day, right?
So was he bring a Raif, since people use tefillin Rashi, because Chaim himself I think it could, there's a big difference. Here is a Shaila that started 30 years ago. Rashi and Ben Tam was in the time of the Shulchan Aruch, and there was Achroyas from Rishonim, and this and this and that. But here we're talking about something that started 30, 40 years ago, and and the only one that was Mata, as far as we know today's, is Rav Moshe. And it's connected, Kol Gedolei Yisrael, Yochid Barabim, Lachik Rabim, at least
Sofik
D'Raisa Chumra.
Well, I named 20, so Rabbi Litvak was
I can tell you, Avramsky is not only a machine that was 40, 50 years, he was nifted 50 years ago. Today's machines, the company, would anyone give a hashkocha to a butcher store if the butcher store brings in a trafis? Of course not. What are the companies, electric shaver companies, what are they up to? Up to one thing, to make money. Their competitor is the razor. Day and day, they're working day and night to make their shaver worse than a razor. So how can you bring a raya from a Ravransky that was lifted 40, 50 years ago, and maybe he told him not to press, maybe he saw a machine that left over something? You have to have something more positive. Yeah, positive means
the
only one positive is Ramosha.
Rabbi, here is
the Moshe saw today's shavers.
Rabbi Lechak, here's the three reasons that matter. One is because there's a blade in between the skin and there's a screen between the,
but thanks
the blade and
here.
The thing. Doesn't matter between, but this is the reasons why they matter. This is what they write, Achrayim. Three reasons. Because there's a blade between, so blives Misparayim. And Misparayim came tar, many paiskim amater, even if there's nothing left. That's reason one. Reason of Ramosha is because there's no cutting going on here at all. It's just destruction of the sar, of the tar, right? That is the second. Did I lose you or you're on?
Hello?
Yeah, yeah. The second
I'm telling
reason,
you,
and
if the Aleph will pull
and,
him,
yeah.
It's a sakana for Klal Yisrael, but when they tear it, we know you can neged al Pesach Gach and Chavos Chaim. And I'll tell you an emotional story. I was a Ben Bayis by Rabbi Gershon Zaks, and I spoke to him more than once about this, and Shavuos was Sunday and Monday. And Friday, I spoke to him about it, and he said these words. The Zayde Hot Ka'asit, Good Shabbos, Good Yontif, and he was nifted a couple of days later. That's why I can never forget it. This was his lashon. The Zayde Hot Ka'asit, Good Shabbos, Good Yontif, and that was the last words that he said to me. I had a lot to do with him. He mentioned more than once those stories, but this was his last words. The Zayde Hot Ka'asit. Now, everyone's going to be in fact, we'll be right. I'm telling you, by me, it's worth it because if I hear Gershon Zaks saying what he heard from his father, why should he make up stories? They can say, no, it's not true. It's not true. So, but when someone says over for Moshe, it's not there, it's got, it don't bother me, Moshe Mat. There's something here, something psychological, that they have to run to the Mata. You have to run to the Mata because the Shivas are not being murdered. What they should do is, at least speak about it, that there's a Shaila, there's a lot of Gdon that Asse, have a Chos Chaim, Midei Sekle Nafke, no one speaks about it. All these other, what you're talking about, Rashi and Ben Tam, the Shulchan Aruch speaks about it. They're not hiding it. They speak about the Machlokes and have an Arichas. The only one that had the nerve to write was this Moshe Rina because he lives in Crown Heights. But in Sishon Labarish, people are afraid to talk about it. You feel like you're in we're in a democratic country. Do you ever hear a Bon and Rashiva speaking about the Shaila? No. There's some type of a pachat to speak about it. Why is it Barashi Benetam they speak about? Rav and Burapak, they have a Rechus in the. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah.
Why doesn't. Speak about it. Find out. Let Reb David write a tshuva. Why his father's Mata and which machines he's Mata. This is it's Tyre. No chutzpah here. You have to find no clear, not what this one says, that one says. And let's see which machines he holds his father's mouth. He's not ready to write a tshuva. Sounds funny. Why don't you write a tshuva? Write a tshuva. My father is this, and this, this, and that. There's no busy tour. You have a right to ask.
Yeah.
I want to know not what this one says, that one says. I want to have a tshuva. The Chavos Chaim asked it because he held Miss Brian Kintam must leave over. Throwing you from the Machne Yisrael, I hear clear cut is.
It's not.
But
Moshe
Mat is only
Bapeh.
And it's different. Your reasons you're giving, not everyone says over. Not everyone says over that way. This one says this reason. This one says that reason. It's not clear cut. Let me Tiberi from Dov Feinstein write a tshuva why your father was Mater, and according to you, which machines are Mut, which is Os.
Rabbi Litzhak, we're out of time. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, okay?
All right. Dick is Achiz, Medaf, Merizain, Rach, Yishmael, Zaina, Gula, Shlema, Erev, Yomeinu, and it should be Tzolo for Kleisel.
Amen. Also, bye-bye. We have the honor of having with us on the phone from Yerushalayim, Harav Shalom Applebaum, who's the Rosh Koel and Teferes Chaim, otherwise known as Rabbi Applebaum's yeshiva. And, it's a yeshiva for American Bachrim, as well as a koel. Welcome, Rabbi Applebaum.
Oh, thank you very much, David. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
So let me ask you, Rabbi Applebaum. So
yeah.
We get a lot of criticism here on the program from people around the world. I just got two calls from England, and I believe we have to respond to anybody who's respectful. And they say, you know, you talk about things that we're not supposed to speak about, B'tzibur. You speak about, you know, surrogacy. Who's the mother? Is it the egg donor? Is it? He says, we don't talk about those things. It's not their acheretz. It's prost. You talk about, you know, shidduchim issues and many different topics, right? Certain types of addiction. And my response was, is that, you know, the Chassam Sofer taught Hilchas Nida in the yeshiva, and at the end of Hilchas Nida says, Siyamti Hilchas Nida Poi by yeshiva, with the Bachrim, he writes. So we believe the Torah is Matayr, and I heard that this is a topic that you've spoken about, and I'd like to hear some of your Das Torah on this.
And as you know, there's a difference of opinion here. It's well known that in many of the Hasidic yeshivas, these sugyas are off limits. They're not taught. They feel that they're worried that Bachram, actually, with the interaction, having interaction with these sugyas, it could lead them, chas v'shalom, to hirurim, and which would be very, very problematic. In the Litvish yeshivas, these sugyas are discussed openly. But what's interesting about it is that it's not that the Magidi Shirim, when they give Shirim and Pesach Pasuach, are prepared to discuss anatomy or actually discuss what a bacher who maybe for the first time is exposed and has questions, usually that's something that a magid shir is not going to discuss, certainly not publicly, and that itself might be a problem. What is a bacher who starts learning through the Ksuvah Daf test for the first time now has that, you know, he's about what's going on, what does this mean? And you start to learn, you're learning about female anatomy and who's there to discuss it and guide you, take you by the hand and explain it to you. So that is a major issue. The fact that they learned it in Pressburg and other yeshivas in Eastern Europe at that time, we could understand that it's true, everything is Torah, and there was an understanding that a person in Mitzvah Hashem with true Yiras Shemayim will come to an understanding, and you know, there's no reason it should affect him. But today, especially, first of all, bachurim who are not really exposed to the outside world. The question is, who's there if they do have a problem, an issue, a dilemma? Who's there to help them and guide them?
So wait, so Rabbi Applebaum, are you suggesting that Bachrim today are less exposed than they were in Pressburg?
No, they're not less exposed.
1835?
Yeah, and it's a great question, but they're certainly, Bachrim today are more exposed, even Hasidic yeshivas, and because I think it's an issue of the Pashut of the Chinuch, the Mesoira as being diluted and it could be, I'm not aware. See, the problem is we don't have any data. It's no way we can plug in exactly the effect and influence. Exactly these bachurim, when they learned these sugyas, and they learned in Pressburg, exactly how the Chassam Sofer did deal with it. Did the Chassam Sofer write anywhere how you can deal with such a problem?
Well, additionally, they say the Chassam Sofer, Tiyadua, had a doll, a male and a female doll, and when he learned Hilchos Nida, he would show them the anatomy on the doll. So
well,
it seems
I'm not
that
aware
he was,
of that. That's fascinating. To
yeah,
me.
And so let me ask you a question before we go through, like, you know, the different svarim. What do you believe? I mean, do we teach the story of Lot and his daughters? Do we take the story of Yehudin Tamar? Do we teach that?
Yeah.
Do we take that out of the Chumash? I mean,
the tshuva, I think, in Rav Sternbach has been Tshuvas van Hugges. He talks about Tanakh as today. Tanakh is Chof Dalet Svarim. A person that was something to be mukhtar, to be a baki in Chof Dalet Svarim. It was part of a person's shleimus in Talmud Torah and Avodas Hashem. Today, we don't learn many places. They don't learn Nach for fear that the stories are too difficult to comprehend and too many issues and questions. David and Basheva, Shol and David, well, especially issues concerning when it comes to Arayas and things like that, issues of the relationships in Tanakh. And for that reason, it's not learned, certainly not in a sheer form. Maybe Yechidim learn it, but it's not taught as part of the curriculum.
So you said we don't teach the story, we don't learn the story of Yehuda and Tamar. We just take it out? Is that what you do in Eretz Yisrael?
Yeshiva, I'm not aware of any yeshiva, and I'm pretty, it makes sense to me. I have a question if the people who teach in the yeshiva would be equipped to actually explain it, except maybe on a higher level to Avreichim. We have a question from a Kabbalistic. The Medrash says that Yehuda really was the Malach of Taiva, pushed him to do it. But Lamaisa, for Bachrim, for sure, these things are just overlooked. And we just hope for the best is probably the attitude that they take in these yeshivas.
So in Eretz Yisrael, they skip literally Parshas and the Chumash.
No, again, you have to know, the difference is you have in the Cheder, here's the difference. The boys learn Chumash from age 5 to about 10. After 10, except for Parshas HaShavua, they don't learn the Parsha inside Pasuk by Pasuk. They just give a general overview and they discuss, they give Vartlich on the Parsha. The girls, so when the boys learn Parshas Vayeshev, so Rebbe Yehuda Tamar, it's pretty much 6 and 7-year-olds just translated. The Rebbe just translated it in usually a poor translation, but tries to translate just to give a basic understanding. So Yehuda and Tamar, he'll explain that they got married. That's how he'll explain that parsha. So that's how they would teach such a parsha in Cheder. Then you're dealing with usually that parsha is Bereishis. So the boys, the Yengeluk learn parsha Bereishis, and when they're 6 or 7, they don't repeat it. The girls actually parsha Bereishis learn in the Beis Yaakov system here in Eretz Yisrael. They learn Bereishis, I think, in Kita Ches, which is the girls are 12 years old.
And do they or don't they learn these? Do they take these parts out of the Chumash? That's my question.
They don't take it out, but they go through it very quickly, and they do not elaborate at all on the significance, the understanding of these verses. That's right.
So it's you're saying that today they do practice a type of, a type of censor, but instead of the censor being Russian, you're saying it's today we censor and we don't discuss these parshas. I was not aware of that.
I went to
regular yeshivas. Yeah. I went to regular yeshivas and they did. I find it astonishing, quite honestly.
What the Marshal writes, and I think this is already a starting point. People have to know we're having a discussion about these topics, about censorship. The Marshal is a famous Marshal in the Chuvis. I think it's not, no, it's in the Yamshel Shloim in Barbakam. I think it's Perek Dal. This is something Lamed Ches. The Marshal says to distort her in any way, to give a false understanding.
The is Yarek Valyavari, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very big problem. And the issue over here is, again, I mentioned about being equipped to deal with it. Rabbeim here, Baruch Hashem, Eretz Yisrael, there's a tremendous transformation in the pedagogy now, in teaching skills and how to give over Torah, Gemara. But the best of my knowledge, these things are actually not dealt with.
So let me give you some Ma'ar Mekaymus. This is from Shulchan Aruch Evan Ezra, the Ezer Mikaydish in the Shulchan Aruch. He says, Ein li mana mishum shash gram hir milalamid bachrim hilchus shebesei denashim. He says, we learn all Seyde Nashim with Bachrim. The Maram Shik writes, a tshuva arucha in dini hargasha by Nida, lahuvi talmidi habacher Zalman Spitzer. I don't know who Zalman Spitzer was, but he was a Bacher and he wrote. And the tshuvas, I mentioned, the tshuvas Sam Seifa says to this this same Shailen Hilchas Nida, lebachrim gedolim, and in the end of his Hilchas Nida, he says he learned it in the yeshiva. Rav Chaim Volozhin, in Oymani Chaima, he says, Ein limud sheyochel lahazik baruchnias. And I think that's what the Litvish world are like. He says, limud ha-Torah is matayr, and it can't be mazik baruchnias. Right? And he brings the Gemara. It says, Rav Acha used to dance with a kal on his...
The Gemara in Ksuvis.
Yes. He says that even though... He was a tzaddik, but he says, what about other people? They'll see a man dancing with a woman on his shoulders, the kala. So they say. So he brings the Oymani Chaim says that Reb Chaim Shmuel, based on Reb Chaim Volozhin thing, that limud not only limud of Torah can be mazik baruchnias, but anhagas Talmud Chacham can be mazik baruchnias.
Yeah.
And listen to this. Rav Chaim Kanievsky asked him if he should learn Masechtas Nida. He says, I waited till I was a little bit of an older bacher after my bar mitzvah to learn Hilchos Nida.
Right.
He says, why? Because he says, because the Chazanish said, Torah Shatnisht.
Yeah, and makes a lot of sense. I think when a bacher learns Yerushalayim, there's a certain intuitive connection where you can, on your own, without having any classes on biology or understanding exactly what the male-female relationships are, you're able to mitzvah get a, maybe get a Torah perspective on these issues, the Torah itself, and the question is, and this is a very very difficult question, you're Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the question is. Especially we have known about the Dor of Haskalah, but were the people were there many people who were affected and looked at the Torah and were because people didn't talk about it? And to the best of my knowledge, you talk about the Chassam Sofer, but I can't imagine that it was actually there was shiurim given in explaining the exactly what is the significance and going on in the Gemara. I think it was just left to the individual, and the question is, were there people who actually were influenced l'ra from these things? And so, again, there's no data. I'm not aware of it. I just know that today we have a problem. It's not being taught, and I agree with you. There needs to be, whether at a chinuch conference, maybe someone can get that out, that something, maybe it was discussed at the Agud conferences or something, but this is something which is very, very important. It needs to, we need a mahalath, exactly how do we give it over to the students in a way that a person can get the proper Torah perspective.
So, by the way, the Maramakam of Weird Chassam Sofer had two dolls. It's the Chutam Mishulish brings it.
Okay.
And he said he had Kalim Meyuchadim Lechol Shiurei Torah. State Sures Tavne Zachar Vinakeva Maisei Umin Prakim Prakim.
Chutam Mishulish is Rav Chaim Volozhiner.
I'm bringing you Daf Chav Tess in it's a different Chutam Mishulish.
It says right, it makes sense. It doesn't work out historically, right? It's
says,
a different.
Chal Hachalakim Hapnine Pnimi and the internal organs Lomay the Lamed Chachmas Hanituach.
Yeah.
So he says he showed it to Talmidim Mufakim.
That's the difference. The Talmidim Muvakim, and these are people who already probably were Baki in the Maseches Nida 10, 20, 30 times over.
But he said they were Bachrim. I mean, he says they were
Yeah,
Bachrim.
Well, we know the difference in the Hungarian yeshivas. Halacha was already, they mastered the Talachel Kishulchan Aruch already in their teenage years, so they learned Maseches Nida and Hilchos Nida even before the Chasana, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm curious, so given that we have so much halacha background to do it, why do they not teach it then? Why today?
I really think first and foremost, I don't know if they're really equipped to deal with it. I believe that, especially in each dar v'darshav, and there's an importance to be able to relate it in the modern age. It might be a different approach. People are afraid that they won't be able to give it over in a way that will be acceptable. So there's definitely an apprehension of fear, and therefore they think it's best to be left over maybe to parents, and that brings a whole different issue, the relationship of the parents to the kids. When should the parents teach certain things to their children? Mother and daughter issues concerning whether it's when the girl gets her period and be able to explain exactly what's going on, and it's a big problem because again that is something because they don't get the chinuch in the schools and it's not explained to them from teachers, so the question is where do the parents get it from and how are the parents able to give it over?
But Rabbi Applebaum, do you feel that this generation is exposed less? I mean, if anything, this generation is the most exposed generation in history. I mean, kids today learn at 10 or 11 or 12 what our great grandparents are never saw in their lives. And isn't throwing a blanket on this like the worst possible thing, so that it's the only way kids are finding about these things are from areas that are not from Tyra? I mean,
not from Tyra, and there's distortions, and you're right. And
so, I mean, isn't this, you would think it would be the exact opposite. I mean, if you don't teach children today about, you know, Derech Eretz, Minig Derech, right? They're going to hear about it on the streets. They're going to hear about it from iPhones. They're going to see it in magazines, in newspapers, on billboards in Yerushalayim, on the bus stops. I mean,
yeah,
today, what you... So my point is, it's. I think the worst, isn't the worst possible solution to say, this overexposed generation, let's not talk about it. I mean,
right.
Let them learn about it from the bus stops. What?
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. And it's funny, you find
incredibly ignorant?
Bali Tshuva, who I've had, Baruch Hashem, a lot of interaction, and I've been involved in working with Bali Tshuva also over the last 20, 25 years. It's Baruch Hashem, usually we're dealing with very mature, especially post-high school, Bali Tshuva or Sameach, Eshet Torah, and they're given the Torah understanding. The educators in these institutions are well-equipped to deal with this. They're prepared, and they actually get a very, very good understanding, and there's a certain shleimus, and it actually, it's beautiful to see how these people who were so influenced by the tumah of the outside world when they come to Torah, and they are able to connect and have a Baruch Hashem a very good understanding of these topics from a Torah perspective, and it makes a big difference. The problem is how are we going to give it over in the you know, religious world, in the firm world.
Wouldn't you agree, Rabbi Applebaum, that even if it's given over and not the, you know, the most successful teacher, etc., but if it's given over by anybody who is, you know, a Yirei Shamayim, which I assume that Rabbeim are and teachers are, however clumsily it's given over, it's still better than finding out about it from the street?
No, I don't think so. I'll be honest with you, my own daughter, when my daughter was learning Malachim, the teacher went pretty quickly through the beginning of the Parsha, David, Avishag, those type, and she didn't explain. And one of the students raised their hand and said, what exactly is going on here? And the teacher was not able to explain it. And the girl, my daughter told me, was very upset and went after the class to the teacher, and the teacher didn't want to talk about it. And my daughter said it had a very bad effect on the student.
In what respect? A bad effect in what way?
No, the fact is the teacher doesn't understand, so there are no answers, that she doesn't understand it. It's a very difficult parsha. And you see, here's a mechaneches, someone who went through the Beis Yaakov system and trained and went to a teacher's training and went to study to be a teacher, and she's not equipped, she's not able to answer what this parsha is talking about, what's going on here.
So you're saying hashkafically, this wasn't an anatomical issue. This was how could David do something like that?
That's correct. It's a question, yeah.
I'm discussing more about those who are prudes and those who are saying, and I agree with you, Hashkafa, there are certain issues that are maybe shouldn't be touched.
Yeah, that's what Rav Sternbach was, when he mentioned that, he was talking about
Hashkafa.
I don't know if that needs to be actually part of the curriculum exactly, the teacher in front of the classroom. That's debatable. It could be that I'm not aware of the system, the educational system in the United States, the Beis Yaakov is there. But here in Eretz Yisrael, I guess, assuming that the Haskamas HaGedolei Torah, that they've come to that it's better not to do it. It's hard to understand because, as you mentioned, Chaim Kanievsky can imagine, right? You know, everything is Torah, and you know, you teach Torah straight, pure, and the way, and you won't, as you mentioned, that you're not going to be hurt from it.
Rabbi Applebaum, I understand that you for many years taught topics in yeshivas and seminaries in Eretz Yisrael that some people would consider controversial. Could you give us a few of those topics?
Well, David, they're very similar to the topics that you yourself discuss on the show. Questions of yeshiva boys in the army, women in the army, and sometimes in the more modern seminaries, it was very important for them to give the Torah viewpoint on issues like abortion and homosexuality. And some of the more, we'll call it frumer Beis Yaakovs, they were very reticent, fearful in bringing these topics, exposing the girls to these issues.
Give us an example of an issue that there were some people wanted you to discuss and others were worried about.
No, as I mentioned, like something like abortion and homosexuality. Now, homosexuality seems to be the most people an open and shut case, but there's so many other aspects. For example, in a community, you have, how if someone is to be known to be involved in homosexuality. So, what's the shaykh? Could you have him over for Shabbos? With issues of kiruv, can you give him an aliyah? So, there's things to discuss, right? To discriminate specifically against the homosexual as opposed to the Mechalei Shabbos. The Mechalei Shabbos, the shul does give a lead. And people who are, involved or in that type of activity, for some reason, are not giving a lead. Is that correct or not? So there are other aspects, but it's very, very important sometimes to be able to, open the eyes and be able to expand the horizons of people to see that the Torah, the main point of it is, and I think that's what you're doing, Baruch Hashem, wonderfully, very, very, very well on your show, is to show that the Torah doesn't hold back and the Torah is able to relate and give timely answers to the most difficult ethical questions.
So let me share with you, we're going a little off topic, but I'll share with you. I get a lot of emails and a lot of calls, and I try to respond to those that I feel are interested in a response. Many of them are just giving speeches.
Right.
So a guy emails me. He very much would like to meet about a private matter. He emailed me 3 or 4 times, and he called. So I said, okay. So this boy comes. He's his first man back in a Lakewood from a big yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and he tells me that he's reached, Oynas HaShidduchim. And he has absolutely no attraction to the opposite gender.
Right.
And his first question is, he says, I could fake it, I could make believe, and I could go out. And the question is, should I do that?
Right.
So I said, what do you mean you have no... He said, I have absolutely, since I'm a child, right. he says, if I were to view pornography, it's like reading a stock table. It means nothing to me. And I said, in the same gender? He said, the same gender. It's not. I have an issue.
Right.
So he said, I am not allowed to date. And I said, how could you date? It's v'haftal arecha kamoicha, the Gemara says. So he says, so what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. Well.
And it's very easy to, I get all the Mishigayim callers, Gates al Maves, the crazy.
Right, unbelievable. Yeah.
And it's very easy to do that until it's somebody... who's somebody who's child
in the community, a child, right?
Who and people say, well, how could that be? Well, I mean, I don't understand what how could that be. I mean, the Rabbi Nishalem creates, there are people who are born with 6 fingers and 8 fingers, and there are people born with 1 legs and no legs. I mean, in Teva, like the Rambam writes in the Moira, it's funny things happen. So how could it happen?
Yeah, listen, I was a mashgiach in a yeshiva. Listen, there's no question. Anyone who's honest and is willing to really meet the challenges, we know that this exists in the best places, the best yeshivas, and to cover our eyes, to make ourselves just cover it up and not relate to it is push it... causing, it's not only a disservice, it's partial to churban. These are people who are yidden, who are challenged.
Are in pain. Who are in pain.
Terrible pain, terrible suffering. And if you're not equipped to deal with it, Baruch Hashem, we're living in Akshur, we have many, many professionals today, from the psychologists and therapists, who, Baruch Hashem, are doing great work in this field. But to criticize, to look down, and usually the first response to such a thing is to throw such a person out of the yeshiva when you reveal. And there are stories like that. And Pashit, this is a ritzicha. You can, and there are many, you know, you there are many great gedolim who dealt with this issue. The response is to send people, find the people who are able to help these people. And this is well known already. Rabbi Feldman, the Rashiva of Neri Yisrael, Aaron Feldman, he wrote extensively, and he is a person who's well equipped in dealing with this shiloh.
So did you go to Gedolim and ask them, am I supposed to be teaching? And I don't like to use the word controversial, because controversial
right.
implies is that it's being spoken about because it's controversial.
Right.
But I like
it also gives a very bad, it's a bad connotation. It seems
yeah.
like there's things that are us there, and you're exposing them to things that they
and
shouldn't.
And what I like to talk about is things that are really practical, but that everybody else just puts their head down because they don't have a clue or they're not equipped. I mean,
yeah, but you, I think you mentioned it last week. You mentioned no. The big problem there are you know, the controversial, especially when we talk about parshiyos of Tanakh. So that is a very, very big problem. And
so, did you ask any gedolim? Did you go to any rabbanim gedolim and say, "Am I allowed to teach, you know, certain parts of Tanakh? Am I allowed to discuss with girls, you know, promiscuity or with younger people, the dangers
yeah.
of pornography. Did you speak
yes.
about this to Gedolim?
Yes, I did. I'm not going to reveal to you who I spoke to, but it's a very, 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 very difficult thing to actually talk about in specifics. But let it be stated clearly that usually when it comes to Bali Tshuva, people that come from, who are already exposed to these issues, from the secular perspective, it is extremely important. And this I did receive from some Gedolei Yisrael, that these people have to be given very clear, explanations. Let them be able to understand the Torah approach to these issues, and that we have that the Torah, the Chazal, the Mefarshim, the great, Mefarshia Torah Shebal Peh. There are ways that we can explain to you, you know, the Torah viewpoint, Torah outlook on many of these issues. The problem is that in the more religious from, whether it's Beis Yaakov and yeshivas, they are the people running the seminaries and yeshivas, understandably so, do not want the bachurim and the girls exposed to these topics for fear.
So here's what's interesting, Rabbi Applebaum, okay? You know, I can understand if somebody's going to live in a world that is truly sheltered, right? So why expose to what you don't have to? My Yisrael, what do you have from it, right?
Yeah.
And that was those who were to misnagit to the Meir Nevuchim. Right, you know, Rabbeinu Yoina, before he was Chayza B'Saif Yomav, the Rajba was misnaget to the Mar Nevuchim.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yankiv Emden was so misnaget to it, Rabbi Yankiv Emden wrote that he doesn't believe the Rambam wrote it.
No.
Which is sort of a little bit funny because it's written. When you read it, it's so incredibly brilliant, the Mar Nevuchim. You have to say only somebody like the Rambam could have written it, right? But then again, you see that, you know, the Ramban writes that he had to write it. He says because he was a mukhruch for Einis, because all the philosophers of Greece, right, stood on the heads of Klal Yisrael, and we had to respond.
Right?
The Radak, the Abar Benil, writes Beferish on the Mer Nevuchim, the importance of it to answer the other philosophers. The Chidah, the Shem Magdalim, all the Gedolei Chassidus were for it, one not misnagit, except for Nachman of Breslov.
Right.
So here's what I would say. I would say that, you know, almost everything we discuss, I would say 80% of it or 90% that we've come across, even the most controversial topics, pornography, addiction, substance abuse, these are things that they're in the yeshivas today. We had on the Rosh Yeshiva saying 80%. When you have the President of the United States, right, front page of every major paper, I guess maybe not the Yated or the Mishpacha, is being is Congress is discussing investigating him because of a relationship he had with a pornographer with a prostitute of some type. You can't avoid it today. So like somebody like David Krongler said, like Rav Ruderman said, do you want people to discover this outside of the yeshiva, or do you want them to understand? No, Torah has a mahalach for everything. We know how to deal with every vice that you could have. The Torah is a samachayim for it. Like the Heiliger Kleisenberger Rebbe said, he says when he writes about learning Nida with the Bachrim, he says, "Me'olam le'shamanu." He said that somebody was nifka when he learns kedusha b'tahara, Torah b'tahara. He said we never heard of something like this. So where should we? Should we let it just be ignored, or should we learn it in the confines of Torah? Even, for example, learning Chayvus Halvavus was a big machlekes. It's interesting. We had a Chassam Seifa who learned Tolchus Nida with the Bachrim, and he didn't learn. They say the way I have it, because he didn't learn Chayvus Halvavus Shari Yichud, right? So it was again a similar. That was more in Deis. He said, I guess he felt, why ask questions that maybe you'll never have. But when we live in a world that, especially these gashmi-sticky things, people, would we want a kid to be surprised by it? Or do you tell a kid, you know, when you have an iPhone in your pocket, it's like having a nuclear bomb in your pocket. It could be used for great things, but it could be very damaging. How do we want to deal with these things? I'm curious. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's interesting because you're asking the why question. You know, the problem is... that there's no question that we have to deal with these issues. The question is, are we equipped to deal with these issues? Are we trained? Do we have the answers? I mean, if you have someone as great as Rav Moshe Sternbach, that he writes in the Tshuva Sanhagas that today we don't learn Nach, and seemingly that was the minute you first learn Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim before you learn Ben Chomish LeMikra, which includes so long as Tanakh, before you learn Torah Shabbat Peh, Mishnah, and Gemara, and he writes over there today, Yikabel Schara Laprisha, we're not equipped, that the Poishim, Nasnu Yad, and he doesn't address, I think the bigger problem is we don't really have answers. You have the Parashas Yehudin Tamar, and Benoit Slot, and David and Basheva, these Parashas in Tanakh. How are we able to deal with it? How do we explain it? They're very, very, very difficult. The Barbanel, you see when he talks about the Parsha himself, David Chot Techet Godel, like we read, and I don't think today the educators are not equipped to answer these questions. And it's a very, very big problem. I know my daughter, for example, in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know what it is in America. And Eretz Yisrael is interesting. The boys learn Mikra. In the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So it's interesting, something like Yehudit and Tomer and Benoit Slot are taught to 6-year-olds. So there they tell the children, right, Yehudit married Tamar, used the word the marriage, and they really don't go into it. The problem is the girls in the high schools here in Eretz Yisrael, Chinuch Atzmoy, the girls learn Tanakh in high school. And speaking to my daughters, these parashas are totally skipped over in Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim, any of the difficult parashas, they just read through it very quickly, but certainly they do not explain it. And there's actually, in Eretz Yisrael especially, they almost never discuss issues. Even the word, for example, to discuss pregnancy or things like that is pretty much not discussed in the high schools. So... if a seminary or a girl in high school has a very difficult question, pretty much you hope that maybe they'll go to the parents and they'll answer it. And it's interesting. I think what you said is very, very good. I think that's the difference. What we teach in the schools, I think it's important. We need to have, when we're learning in the teacher training, people who are at least, we should be exposing at least the teachers in case the student comes over and has many questions, fakers and more questions than Tanakh. And Tanakh is very hard. You know, it's interesting. I just want to mention that fascinating that the tour, I think it's Reish Mem Vov in Yerodea, on the Gemara, Kol Melamed is Bitoi Torah Melamdo Tiflus.
Talmud Torah, yeah.
Yeah, by Talmud Torah. It's interesting. The tour has a gears over there. that it's going on Torah Shebikhtav, Dafka Fuch. Torah Shebal Peh is no problem teaching women. It's at Tiflus. But Torah Shebikhtav is Tiflus, I think it's the Prisha says over there, because it's much easier to take Chas V'Shalom. The Torah can come Divrei Havai. And to understand that the Parshiyos of Tanakh are very much more difficult. So we need, there are people, Baruch Hashem, wonderful educators in the Jewish world today, who, they usually speak in front of Balei Tshuva, but I think it's important to expose in the Beis Yaakovs, in the yeshivas, even Rebbeim, and because, as you said, the yeshivas are not immune, and these are issues that come up. And while we might not discuss it in a public forum, but there's no question that the Rebbeim and seminary teachers have to be equipped and have to get the knowledge to be able to answer these difficult topics.
Well, thank you very much, Rabbi Applebaum, for sharing your time with us.
Okay, David, thank you so much.
Cultivate a good year.